station.
Rover.
There are laws against this.
Bougie.
I kind of got tingly.
Peter.
Kiss this, bitch.
Charlie.
I'm smarter than you, for sure.
And Jeffrey.
Please.
Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
What's happening? It is Friday, August 11th, 2017. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here. Ah, wait a second. Turn your mic on.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is
Yo.
Here.
Yo!
Yo! And you're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER is the number. 866-967-6837. Give us a call at that number. You can also text us there. That comes into the studio in real time. Or tweet us. Put at Rover Radio on your tweet. Comes in real time. But the best way to get a hold of us is to pick up the phone and dial 866-YO-ROVER. Someone was shot out of a cannon today.
Who?
Jeffrey LaRocque. Oh. I could hear this guy all the way down the hallway. Just I don't know what he was talking about.
Oh, North Korea. That's our early morning topic every day.
Oh, man. He was just...
He was pretty early on this North Korea. He's been talking about this for a month before the Donald Trump thing or the Guam threat. Jeffrey's been on top of this.
6 months he's been talking about this.
Well, North Korea, unfortunately, has been making its rounds in the news because of they're trying to up their rhetoric.
Let's nuke them.
Trying to up their rhetoric.
What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but, you know, how about a more surgical strike? You take out all their military, you make a two-pronged attack. You first take out all their military airfields so they can't mount a defense, then you take out all their artillery nests, then you knock out, and then at the same time, you're knocking out their command and communications. That'll send them into chaos, and then they'll think twice, because we have probably enough conventional munitions to turn that country into a flat parking lot if we really want it to.
Enclosed.
What? No, well, I got that. I was watching an aviation documentary when they were talking about Vietnam, and the person that they were talking to used that quote.
Oh. What quote?
a quote that Charlie was about to eat.
What is it?
Glass enclosed self-lighting parking lot.
And what year is this documentary from?
Well, it was probably from the mid-90s, but they were talking about Vietnam and how the war was micromanaged, mismanaged, and the fact is that because they were broadcast, they were like... giving out speeches to when they're going to attack. That's how the North Vietnamese got the jump on us.
He loves this topic.
No, it's not. I don't love it. It's just Donald Trump needs to get a grow a sack and do something about it.
Uh-huh. All right.
I mean, he is the president of the United States. I mean, I didn't vote for him, but still, he has the responsibility of protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
We'll get to email here in just a moment. McDonald, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, McDonald.
Yo, Rover, all day.
CLY.
Dieter. Ow!
Ow!
Yeah, man, I love you guys. Hey, I was just wondering if Jeffrey would sing me a birthday song today. It's my 31st birthday. I'm a big fan of the show. Have been for forever.
Jeffrey, would you like to sing this one of your biggest fans? Happy birthday. Well, you can't do anything without turning on his microphone.
Hit the button.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy dirt day, dear McDonald. Happy birthday to you.
You said dirt day.
Dirt day?
Dirt day.
I said birthday, not dirt day.
Dirt day.
Did you say birthday?
Yeah.
I just said it, Nat.
Oh, I love you guys. Thank you.
Say happy birthday, right. McDonald.
Happy birthday, bro.
Thank you.
Say birthday real quick.
Birthday.
Okay.
Dirt day is what he said. I heard
sometimes
that too.
He says birthday.
Oh, birthday. And did he get that from going to his all
yes.
black high school? Is that where he picked up on birthday from?
Yeah, he's been saying that for a while.
Did you see Nads? I thought Dieter was.
What about him?
He ran down here. Were you
I think
late?
He just made it in time to the show.
Oh.
Yeah, I slept. I overslept.
Oh.
Dude, don't run like that.
Sprinting.
Yeah, You're going to have a heart attack.
And he had to get the garbage can in here, and then it wouldn't stand upright. It was, like, teetering over, and he's trying to hurry up and do it and get out before you see him. He was all nervous. And
oh,
he
I
ran
didn't
out.
See that.
Oh, his grandma
I went to bed super early yesterday, and they warn you not to get too much sleep.
Huh?
Sorry.
Who warns you not to get too much sleep?
Seep. Too much seep.
Too much sleep. And I went through all of my alarms, so I apologize.
Step running.
How'd you get into work today? Didn't your parents drive you?
No, my parents are in Cedar Point, so they actually drove me to my apartment yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Charlie drove me to work and home from work yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But I obviously needed to come in as fast as I could.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Slurring.
I feel good. I'm not slurring at all. I feel good.
Okay.
All right.
My mouth's a little dry.
You want some water?
Your mouth is dry?
Yeah. I'm not swearing.
No, that running, if you would have seen him run.
No, I'm sure Snitzer, I don't know if he had that wide shot.
That's not good for your brain.
Yeah.
All right, let me get the email here today. Oh, man, there's a lot of email. What the hell's going on? Holly writes, good morning, everyone. I need an update on Jeffrey's infected finger. Also, did Rover contract anything from being in close proximity with Jeffrey? I don't know if she's talking about the wrestling match I had with him on board Rolling Glory 1 or probably. What is an update? Jeffrey, can you show Charlie your infected finger, please?
Let's check it out.
Let's look at this. Any better or is it about the same?
It's about the same. Might be actually a little better.
Are you taking the antibiotics?
Did you finish them?
Of course.
Oh. You're still taking those, huh?
Yeah. I still got a few pills left. I take them once. Take them every 12 hours.
What a lie this is.
Well, on the trip, you forgot the pills.
Yeah, you had 7 days of pills, right? And you took 4 days of them. Then we went on the trip because you forgot them. And then you came back, and there's three left, right? Three sets of pills.
I'm not sure how many pills you have, but I'm still on them until they run out, so.
He's not taking those pills.
Because you'd already be out of them.
Right.
See that math that Charlie just did?
We've been back since Tuesday night.
Yeah, that? I took one Tuesday night, and Tuesday night, so.
Wednesday night.
You would have been done Wednesday night.
No, I sometimes keep forgetting because I take one and I was like, oh crap, and I don't want to double up because then it might cause me to have explosive diarrhea and I'd like to prevent that.
You already have that, but you stop the growth of bacteria.
Yeah.
And then you let it grow a little more. Yeah. Then you stop it again. Yeah. You can't keep going back and forth.
I got to finish it off, Dieter.
I'm telling you, this is the beginning of the plague, dude, right here. This is patient zero. This is how it starts, right here.
Stop taking those and then take them again.
So you think it's resistant. You think like thousands of years from now, some either alien race or whatever replaces humans are going to look back, kind of, they're going to have to probably dissect what happened to humans, kind of like we do with dinosaurs. What happened to them? Was it a meteor that hit and wiped them out? Was it something else?
They're going to be judging the cave paintings, like the ceiling fans in Jeffrey's house, to try to understand.
Sure.
Skid-marked underwear to try to recreate this person.
So this will be their, you know, their scientists mm-hmm. will find, this will be a big breakthrough when they find the electronic record of this show, and it takes them, you know, they dig it up, it takes them forever to decipher it, and they'll go, aha!
We got it!
It was the great finger infection of 2017.
I doubt that.
It spread.
At least I can hold one thing is that I'm probably the most misunderstood person on the planet.
Why?
I just am.
Well, explain yourself.
I just did.
Can't. You'll misunderstand him.
No, just the fact that you said it yourself, Rover, and you said it on very large number of occasions that I am the strangest human being on this planet.
Jeffrey, do you take this antibiotic with food yet?
No, I don't take it with food because that doesn't mix well with food. You just take it with, a full glass of water.
This guy.
Mm-hmm. We'll take it this morning, right? You brought it in to work?
No, I didn't take it this morning.
No, you didn't take it. Did you bring it in to work?
No, I didn't bring it.
How many do you have left?
I don't know, Charlie. I haven't really counted them yet.
Well, he would have got one left. We would have had today's. This would have been the last one. Yeah, this would have been.
He'd have already been gone.
It would have been done Wednesday night.
No, he said
Charlie just did it.
Took it for 4 days.
Yeah, and two pills a day,
and he had 3 days worth of pills left, not 3 pills. So that's six pills. So Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, Thursday night. Friday morning would be a sixth pill.
I'd have been out of it by now if I had remembered to take you with me on this trip, on our last trip. So
666 writes, "Yo, Rover, I have a 4-month-old Shar-Pei, and I've noticed lately that every time you say good morning, she goes to the radio and barks.
Aww.
She normally doesn't do that with any other media. Could this be the tone of your voice? Also, she doesn't do it when you say good morning to the crew. So it's just the initial good morning. Hmm. I don't know what that is. Very smart dog, though. Keep Shar-Pei? That dog around. Well, I don't know about it. Just that particular Shar-Pei barks at me in the morning.
Right.
Brian writes, it appears that Snitzer, who's our video guy, who you see sometimes back there in the video control room, it appears that Snitz has a vase of dairy-free chocolate dildos on the corner of his desk. What are they?
What?
Dairy-free chocolate. I don't know.
Dildos?
What are we talking about?
Oh, these, on the right.
To the right. See all these dildo statues?
Those are Lego. Which ones? The Star Wars things? The Lego things?
I don't know what he's... Star Wars Legos characters. It could be that weird water bottle thing that he has.
No.
That looks like a dildo.
I mean,
the whole place is filled with dildos. Mm-hmm. The back left is a Pepsi dildo.
Well, maybe that's what the guy sees.
There's that orange and... what's that butt plug right there? That thing, that round thing with the top?
Oh, that's another dildo right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. BB-8 dildo. Coffee cup dildo. Chewbacca dildo.
iPhone dildo.
Yeah, just covered in dildos.
Keyboard dildo. Yeah, he's crazy. He's ultra-sexual, Snitz. And he just can't get enough. Keith writes, we need you in New Jersey. But as with the other morning shows, they have a producer. Need the show Rover's Morning Glory to get the help they need to keep adding stations so you can get to Jersey. Might be able to pick up Philly and be able to save my data. Just don't lose stations till you get to Jersey. I'm going to forward this to corporate. They'll really take this under consideration. I've told people about your show, but data is killer. Ball rag, don't screw this up. How much are they? How much is the data that they are? I mean, I have to do the math on this, but I don't know how much data that you burn through. If you listen to the show every day and you listen to the whole show, that would be 4.5 hours. How much data are you going through? How much can you look me up
a podcast?
Look up a podcast. And
I can tell you right off, it's around 85 megabytes.
85 megabytes for a podcast. And what are you encoding that at?
64.
64 stereo or mono? It's probably stereo. Ooh,
right? I don't remember. Let me double check. I think it's probably mono. It takes a little bit to open. So yesterday's was 92 megabytes. The day before that, 88.
And right-click on it. Click on properties. Are you sure it's 64 kilobit?
Yes.
Mono? Stereo?
It is mono.
Hmm. Well, anyhow, I don't know what the stream is. He's probably talking about the stream.
A lot more,
probably right? 128. Although I'm not positive about that. That could be 64 as well. But all right, so you're going through roughly, I don't know, let's just say even with the stream, if it's higher, I don't know. Here's someone that says 20 gigs a month just from you. That's impossible.
Well, maybe they're watching RMG TV all day.
Oh, yeah, that's entirely possible.
But a month?
Tim says iHeartRadio kills data. Are they using an obscene amount of data somehow? I'll look into that. I'll try and do some experiments this weekend.
Jeffrey listens when he's not here, right, Jeffrey?
No, I'm just saying, I'm thinking that it seems like the video sounds like it uses more data than audio.
You think?
I'm just guessing. I'm not an electronics expert. I'm just taking a wild shot in the dark guess here.
Okay. I'm going to, maybe I'll do some experiments on that, too. Let's see, does video take more than just audio alone?
Jeffrey, at your fence job, do you listen on your phone to us or no?
We have a regular, we have an old-fashioned radio in our shop.
Like a boombox. That's how we
listen. No, not a boombox. It's a regular household stereo. Any other stereo you find in your living room. That's how we listen.
Heather writes about Nads. I can't stand his quote. Don't you want to see a nuclear bomb go off in your lifetime? Wow, what a comment. Go back to the hospital, you brain-injured nincompoop. 2 million people died just so you could see it. Screw you.
I'm not saying I want people to die.
Well, that's what would happen if a nuclear bomb went off.
Just a lifetime event that I've never seen before.
Yeah. All right. He's looking at it like, you know, he got so excited when the Cavaliers won the final. Oh, yeah, it'll be just like that. We'll have a party. We'll go to the parade.
Dancing in the street.
Yeah, Nuclear Days Parade. Sweet. Yes, Jeffrey.
Well, if Nats really wants to see...
Shout out of a cannon.
If Nats really wants to see a nuclear bomb go off without having to see a lot, just watch a couple of movies seen around nuclear war, like The Day After by Dawn's Early Light. Or two movies I could think of right off the bat.
Jessica writes, hey, Rover, randomly I came across the pictures of Charlie, Jeffrey, and you at T.A. Petro with Rolling Glory 1. And it made me think. It's absolutely amazing how you've been able to achieve all of your dreams and do all of that you have set out to do. Roverfest, RMG TV, RMG Plus, Rolling Glory 1, just to name a few. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm too much of a Stan. Is that like the Eminem song, Stan? Is that what you mean?
No, like a stalker?
Yeah. But I just wanted to let you know that you're someone I look up to. And even though you may not be the ideal radio host that iHeart wants you to be, well, ain't that the truth? I still think you're the best out here. Keep doing all that you set out to do, and you'll always have a listener in me. P.S., you should have a segment once a month where you have a fan hang out on the show. All right. Maybe Jessica can be the first fan.
Oh, yeah. Hot chick.
By the way, speaking of the photo, there was a kind of a funny photo of Jeffrey and me at this TA that we stopped at to fuel up Rolling Glory 1. And so...
This gave me a good laugh.
Well, we're we're standing there and... I go to like Jeffrey to make a hand movement, like just put my hand out, and he shakes my hand out of the blue. I don't know how you happened to just snap that right at the moment.
Oh, I wasn't laughing at that. I thought you guys planned that to shake each other's like.
No, that was not
like cutting a deal or something. What? I was laughing because you guys are wearing the same exact outfit,
genie pants.
Yes, both wearing a jogger kind of sweatpants and black T-shirts, and you look like the Foot Clan or like ninjas or something. And I was like, That's when you need to look at your life, and I think maybe sweatpants life might be over, Rover.
Yeah, I took a few pictures. That was the funniest one.
Let me see it.
I can't find it.
I saw people were criticizing. Oh, you look ridiculous in these sweatpants, you loser. Those are basically my pajamas. I'm on the bus. I'm lounging around. I'm sure everyone looks like a... like an Abercrombie model when they're lounging around home. All of our fans with their athletic builds, I'm sure that they are, you know, perfectly coiffed and dressed to the nines as they lounge around their house. Deirdre writes, yo, Rover, on the topic of getting new listeners acquainted with the show, what about putting together video vignettes for each cast member, past and present? Basically, it could be like a 60 to 90 second sizzle reel for each person that tells viewers who each person is and gets them excited about the show. They could live in the show cast section. It's not a bad idea. Aaron writes, I signed up for RMG Plus when it started. A little over a year ago, my financial situation went to crap when my son started high school, and I had to pinch every penny I had. The tuition alone is $11,000 a year.
$11,000?
Send your kid to a regular high school. Save the $11,000.
It's expensive.
He's going to grow up to be an ungrateful little bastard anyhow. He's not going to... Trust me on this. He is not going to appreciate the $11,000 you're spending to send him to.
I don't know that.
What must be some sort of private high school. No, he won't be. No, I was a kid. I know how kids are. We all were kids. Are you thankful for what your parents do for you, Dieter?
No.
No, you take it for granted.
When you pay for it yourself, like when I first had to pay for my car,
that's right.
Big difference.
Aaron says that is 41% of her income.
Why just go to public school?
I don't get it. Maybe they live in a terrible area where the public schools are, but even still.
That's I had that choice when I went to high school. Well, my parents were like, you have private and public school. And I'm like, well, I want to go to private. That's where all my friends are going. They're like, no, you're going to public. It's free. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, they wanted to send you to Catholic, like a private Catholic high school?
Yeah, that's where all my friends went.
Oh, man.
We had a girl in here a couple weeks ago, tried out for the shizzy. She went there. It's more for the, upper class.
Uh-huh.
Snooty.
Uh-huh.
But all my friends went there after grade school, because I went to a Catholic grade school. And then my parents were like, no, no, you went to a Catholic grade school we had to pay for. You're going to public high school. That's it.
Anyhow, Aaron writes, I've cut out all the extras out of our life ever since. That includes Netflix, dining out, extracurricular activities, and, unfortunately, RMG+. I've been quite sad ever since. After a lot of sacrifices and boring days, I am restarting my subscription. Next payday, come hell or high water.
There you go.
The wrestling video sealed my fate. I laughed so hard I had tears rolling down my cheeks. Come to Dayton soon so I can hug all of you. Yeah, there's a free preview of the late night Friday leftovers that we did from Rolling Glory 1 a week ago today. It's up at roverradio.com. You can watch. I don't know. What is it like? I think it's 5 or 10 minutes.
Did you ever watch that yet, Dieter?
I will during the break. I can't find my password. You said you gave me one. I don't know where it is. 2 years ago, you gave me one.
Uh-huh.
I never got it.
Is it on your phone?
No.
Why would you have the app on your phone?
No, the password.
No, but if you set it on your phone, like I never log in, it's on my phone. Just, it remembers me.
But you had to first put your password in to get in.
I think he did gave it to me, and then I never, I don't know what my password is.
Let's see here. Tim in Buffalo, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Rover, what's up, man?
Hey, man, what's happening?
I just got one comment about the data usage. I listen to you guys every day, beginning to end, and then I listen to two other radio stations, probably total of 9 to 10 hours a day, and I have data with my phone, and I never get any extra charges or anything, so I don't think it's that much data that you use. I don't understand that megapix crap, but...
Well, I think people may be watching RMG TV on their phones, and that will suck up data. But they're saying the iHeart app. RMG TV isn't in the iHeart app, so I don't know what they're. I don't know what's going on. But anyhow,
I do that occasionally too. When I check out your hookups and stuff like that, or comedians. The other reason why I called is you said corporate sort of like giving a little bit of a hard time about being the most controversial show, and not. I tell you, man, I listen to a lot of iHeart stations. You're not the most controversial by far. I mean, there's one other show that sticks out way more than you do, and that's The Breakfast Club. And I mean, they push race big time. They're always talking about...
It's just basically we hate whitey and we want to kill all whites, basically.
Yeah,
4 hours a day.
They're allowed to say that?
Yeah, well, hey, if you're making money, you're making money, right? Unless you're me.
They get paid a lot of money, and I mean, that Charlamagne, he talks about keeping his foot on the white man's neck all day, and he says all kinds of, like, envelope pushing stuff, and you can't get any more controversial than that. You don't
well,
do anything like that.
I think you're the only white guy listening that might complain. I assume you're a white guy, but I don't think there are really any white people listening to The Breakfast Club, so they don't hear any of that stuff, so they can't get outraged by it. And actually, even if they did, it still, I don't think anything would happen from that. Now, if it were me, Just imagine for a second, Tim. Imagine if I went on the air every day for 4 hours talking about how I'm keeping my foot on the neck of the black man to keep him down, keep him under control.
I totally agree.
How fast would I be fired? I mean, that day. Yeah. If I did that today, if I spent just one day
Oh, you wouldn't make it to the end of the show.
We should do this, Charlie. No. How about
what? Let's have you do that.
How about this, Charlie? Will you do me a favor?
No. Say no.
What? Or someone. I don't know who can do this. I'll task you with this, Charlie.
Okay.
I want you to listen to The Breakfast Club one day, just a random day, and I want you to write down all of the anti-white stuff that is said.
And you'll
then
switch around.
I'm going to come in, and I'm going to say...
Are you going to warn anybody?
No, okay. I'm not going to warn
this
anyone.
This is why the company says you cause them heartburn.
Oh.
This is
I'm
why.
Not going to warn anyone. I'm going to say exactly the same stuff, but it's going to be flipped. It's going to be directed towards blacks. And I want to see what happens.
Okay.
And
this sounds fun.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Well, what could they do? Seriously, they can't fire me.
Yeah, don't stir the
this
pot.
This is my ticket to retirement, because if they fire me, I sue iHeart, and I go into court.
With these clips.
Right, and we play the shows side by side, kind of like when they do a court case and it's a band suing, claiming some other band ripped them off, and they play the two songs to back. We play a clip from The Breakfast Club where it's, I hate Whitey, and I'm going to keep my foot on the neck of Whitey. And then it's me going, I hate blacks, and I'm going to keep my foot on the on the neck of blacks. Now, how could they fire you for just flipping the script? Well, let's see. I would love to see how that goes. I probably wouldn't bode too well for me.
The other day, I heard them say they just like landed like their 74th market that they're in. They're in 74 markets. You're in like what, 3 or 4, right?
Let me tell you, so I think we're on 6 or 7 or 8 or something. Let me tell you, one of them that they landed was my station in Louisville, where we were number one. Number one. They're in like 20th place. So,
how does that make sense?
This is what gets me going with the company. They will put you on, if for whatever reason, I don't know who I have to get on my knees for, but if they get behind you, they just put you on a million stations, and it doesn't matter if you lose. It literally does. I could point, I won't, because I'm a team player. You
really?
Know me. Mr. Company Guy. I could point to shows that fail in market after market after market, and they just keep getting more markets. More.
But they have to get behind you. Literally.
Yes. I guess so. They have to bend me over. They get behind me, bend me over, and then they'll expand the show. And they won't care whether I win or lose. They don't care. As long as you're making money somehow. I don't know how. It's really remarkable. All right. Thank you, Tim. I'm sorry. I'm behind again. See, I get off on the wrong. Maybe this is why they don't like me. I'm always behind. Supposed to take a commercial break 8 minutes ago, but I just have so much to say. I'm so packed with dropping knowledge bombs like I'm on The Breakfast Club. They have Charlemagne. We have Jeffrey Stane. It's very comparable. It's just the whitewashed version of...
Charmin Stane.
Whatever.
If Nads has permanent brain damage, I hope it doesn't affect him coming up with Jeffrey jokes like that. You know, I could live with everything else, him drooling in the fart box, all of that. But, I mean, that was good, Charmin Stane. That's good. Don't ever lose that, Nads.
I'm trying.
Okay. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your next shot to win a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival comes at 8:30 with RMG on MMS.
Time for more Rover's Morning Glory on Cleveland's Rock Station, 100.7 WMMS.
Jeffrey LaRoque, the full body equivalent of homeless bedhead.
So what?
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Shizzy is coming up the news. What do you have on the way, Doozy?
Taco Bell is testing a new burrito. I'm curious what you think. I know we all love Taco Bell, so what do you think of the new idea they've got? Something different. I'll tell you the story next.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Dylan in Louisville, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dylan.
Yo.
Yo, what's happening?
Not much, man. I'm on my way to work. Listen to the show every day for about the past 3 years now. Your
thank
fan base
you.
In Louisville's pretty big.
Well, thank you.
I mean, every day I push the show out to new people I work with, and everybody just hooks on to it and loves the show.
Well, I appreciate that. We need all the help we can get.
I try to do what I can, man. I was calling to see, I heard y'all the other day, was talking about making a trip to Louisville. You have any dates for that yet?
Is there anything fun to do in October?
Like, I think it's going to be in October. Is that right, Dizzy?
Yeah.
Is that for sure?
Yeah. Not the first week of October, because we're going to be in Rochester.
Yeah.
For, like, October 6th or 7th. But then, like, the middle of the month or the end of the month, like, Halloween. Is there any, like, big thing that happens for Halloween in Louisville that we should know about?
The zombie walk is pretty big.
What's that?
That's just... man, probably 15,000 people just dress up like zombies and just terrorize the streets. And
oh, good. We could take Nads. He wouldn't require any makeup. Just a mashed up face walking around.
That sounds cool. What about the University of Louisville?
I mean, at that time of the year, there's really not much going on.
Well, we're going to be it then. We'll be what's going on. It will be sometime in October, Dylan. As soon as we get a date, I'll let you know. And you know, we'll come down. We won't do anything. I mean, I was gonna say we won't do anything official. We'll say where we're gonna go. We'll set something up in advance, and we'll meet fans. We've never been there.
Really?
Now that we're going there now, after we're not on the air. So,
and we don't even contact a station, right? Like,
well,
it's just us, dude. I mean, how do you?
It's technically we're on a station there. It's an HD station that no one has a receiver to get, so no one can hear it. But technically, they like to say, Rover, no, you're actually, yes, you were number one in Louisville, but you're still on there on a station that literally no one can hear. That'd be like if I just broadcast from my bedroom every day, and someone goes, well, no, you're really still broadcasting. Yeah, but I'm in my bedroom. It doesn't matter. So as soon as I get a date, Dylan, we'll let you know. It'll be sometime in October, though, and that's for sure. We're locked in for that, douche.
Yeah.
Unless something crazy happens, October it will be, Dylan.
I can't wait.
Right on. We'll party with you. Thank you so much. Doogie, we do have the shizzy. Are you ready for the news?
Yes.
Here we go.
Hit the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory. In New Jersey, I love how the president makes his, is it a golf club? His, what is he staying at during his vacation? Is it a golf club?
Yeah, it's a golf course, right?
He makes it look very presidential. He did a really good job making it look official, because he's not on vacation, Rover. He's working.
Yeah, he's telling Mitch McConnell, get back to work.
Yes.
While he's on a golf vacation.
He's at a golf club.
Yes. Well, the president doubled down on his threats to unleash fire and fury on North Korea. This is yesterday. You're going to help me with some audio, Rover.
Okay.
This is the president coming out and talking to the media. And
this is
what
Trump
issues
new warning.
New plan.
Comes out of where? This is like a golf club in New Jersey.
Yes.
That he owns.
It looks good.
It looks like
it?
The White House.
Yeah,
when they came out.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. We're having some meetings. I know you're going to be watching a couple of them. We have a lot of people here today. A lot of subjects under discussion, including Venezuela, including, of course,
China,
North Korea,
Venezuela, North Korea.
We'll be spending quite a bit of time here.
Can we just jump right to the... Where's the good stuff here, Charlie?
I think when Pence is gone.
When Pence is gone?
Or did they zoom in? Yeah.
If you have any response
to the North Korea.
I don't think they mean that. And I think it's the first time they've heard it like they heard it. And frankly, the people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. They've been doing this to our country for a long time, for many years. And it's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough. And we're backed by 100% by our military. We're backed by everybody. And we're backed by many other leaders. And I noticed that many senators and others today came out very much in favor of what I said. But if anything, that statement may not be tough enough.
What would be tougher than fire and fury?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
Mr. President, is one of the options being considered a preemptive strike or strike?
We don't talk about that. I never do. I'm not like the other administration that would say we're going into Mosul in 4 months. I don't talk about it. We'll see what happens. But I can tell you that what they've been doing and what they've been getting away with is a tragedy, and it can't be allowed.
Trump also did something weird about Trump thanked somebody yesterday. I don't know if you saw this.
All right. Weird.
Do you have any response to the Russian president expelling 755 workers from our embassy?
Yeah, so they kicked out 750 diplomats, U.S. diplomats. They said, get out of the country as punishment to the United States.
Because of the
sanctions? No, I want to thank him because we're trying to cut down on payroll. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm very thankful that he let go of a large number of people because now we have a smaller payroll. There's no real reason for them to go back. So I greatly appreciate the fact that they've been able to cut our payroll for the United States. We'll save a lot of money.
Hmm.
But these people are still being paid.
They're being paid by the United States government. Putin doesn't pay our people. But no reason to go back either. Yeah, forget it. I don't think he's ever said anything bad about Putin ever.
Mm-mm.
Never. He says bad things about, you know, the leaders of Germany and Australia.
His own administration. His own team. His right-hand guy.
Yeah, sure. Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan.
But Putin.
No. He's great. Thank you for expelling our diplomats. I have another, please.
The other Trump piece of business that we dealt with yesterday, a lot of people were wondering why he hadn't done it sooner, but he did, in fact, do it yesterday. The president declared the opioid epidemic a national emergency. And he said his administration was drafting papers to make it official. So
I don't know what that means exactly. Like, what happens if you declare it an emergency? What changes? But these doctors have got to stop prescribing the stuff.
They're already cutting back, though, what they used to do, Rover. It was all willy-nilly.
Sure,
everybody got a prescription.
To some extent, yeah.
So that's not helping because these people still, they're getting it off the
Then they just
the
go
street.
Out and they get heroin, and it's cheaper than the pills that they were taking. I think people get these pills, and they go, oh, it's a pill. It's an actual medicine. I can take this. How bad could it be? And then they get hooked on it, and then it gets too expensive. Then they move to heroin, and so they stop prescribing it for sure. And I don't know how you combat this problem, though. I don't know what this means to declare it a national emergency.
They say it helps unlock more support and resources in order to address the drug overdose epidemic.
Mm. More clinics.
More money, expanding access to various forms of treatment, etc. They also say that national emergencies are typically declared for short-term crisis, such as like the Zika virus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of what this is for. So this will be a long-term
situation.
They've
got to start, educating kids. I mean, they had all the... When I was a kid, they had the DARE program, and they had all the, this is your brain on drugs. I don't know what they're doing today with kids, but it ain't working.
It takes one kid to take a pill, and then all of their friends want to take that pill.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, do you see those drug commercials anymore?
Which ones?
Like, because they used to have the, this is your brain on drugs, any questions? Well, you don't see any kind of program now.
I don't see
now.
That, but we're not watching programs at our age that are designed to appeal to a 12-year-old kid.
My girlfriend still watches MTV, and
you had the anti-smoking commercials.
Yeah, they have tons of those.
There's where's
so
the drugs?
Much anti-smoking commercials.
The yeah, truth. We got that. I mean, no one really smokes it anymore, and I guess I shouldn't say that, but comparatively, no one smokes anymore, so mission accomplished there. Maybe you get off the cigarette kick and get onto the anti-heroin kick.
Yeah, I think that'd be way better.
Applebee's. I love Applebee's. When I lost my job, I had to move to Las Vegas. Where did I work?
Applebee's.
Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan. And now some sad news that your local Applebee's may be closing soon. The struggling casual restaurant chain is trying to turn their business around.
How can they be struggling? What's that? Their food is delicious.
I know. They could be closing up to 135 restaurants. They're trying to do something for their strategy. And they say that more restaurants will be closed than initially planned. The company now expects to shut down about 135 of nearly 2,000, and they might have to do more. I'm sad. Speaking of food, Taco Bell. The fact that I'm just saying Taco Bell drives me crazy, because now what I'm going to want to eat is Taco Bell. Yeah, all day I'll think about Taco Bell. I know, right? So they're testing a new burrito. And do you remember when you were little, and my kid wants to try this and we haven't done it because it's all sugar, that Pop Rocks, the popping crystals?
Yeah. If you drink pop with it, it makes you die.
Like Mikey from the Life cereal commercial. Killed him. His stomach exploded. Oh, yeah.
So Taco Bell is going to test that, a new burrito with the popping crystals, like Pop Rocks. And when you eat it, they're going to explode with a little spicy cayenne pepper.
How'd they come up with this?
Ooh, cayenne popping crystals.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
so
how
it's not sweet. It's actually going to be
like a little
spicy.
Kick.
Oh, that's good. I like that. They should put this in every food. I mean, I like that. Crystals that burst with flavor. Well, yeah, the cayenne one, that's going to... No, I couldn't eat that.
It's going to burn on the way in and the way out.
Oh, yeah.
It would be just instant diarrhea. Anything spicy. I like spicy stuff. I like the way it tastes, but man, does it do a number on my stomach.
Mm-hmm. So this is called the Firecracker Burrito, and right now they're testing them around California. You can add that popping crystal to anything on the menu for 20 cents.
Hmm.
Have you had the Pepsi Fire yet?
No, what's that?
It's Pepsi, but with cinnamon in it.
Oh, I don't know if that sounds any good.
Really?
Is that good?
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet.
Well, it was all right.
Oh, snitz.
Huh. What does it taste like? That almost tastes like it would be like a Dr. Pepper in a way.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little spicy. It's a pepper with, or a Pepsi with cinnamon. That's basically all it is.
Hmm.
Not too spicy.
But it is spicy. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. And finally, a week-long celebration is planned in Memphis and Nashville, and Elvis Week will kick off today. This, of course, will commemorate the icon's death and all the influence that he left. Elvis Presley died August 16th, 1977. So, big force still out there, and they are going to celebrate all that he's about for a week-long party up until his death. And remember him, so you'll see this. Yes, sir.
Up until his death. He's dead.
The day that he died. The whole week kind of thing. Yes, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I remember when I made my trip to Graceland a few years back. I brought back you guys a little gift, but I don't know where it's at. So
it's in the trash.
Oh, gee, thanks.
No, it's not. He's
around
right
here somewhere. Yeah, I have it back here.
It's behind him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I thought it'd be a cute little thing because I was listening to Elvis Presley when I was a little kid.
What's your favorite song?
Hound Dog, Don't Be Cruel, Jailhouse Rock.
Blue suede shoes?
No, that's not one of my favorites.
One from the front, two from the back. Mix it in my pants, now I go crap, but don't you step on my poop stained shoes. Well, you can crap in my pants, just lay off of my poop stained shoes. Well, you can use toilet paper, I say no way. Skid mark my pants all damn day. I do all sorts of things with lots of poop. But honey, lay off of my dues, now don't you step on my poop stained shoes. You can crap in my pants, just lay off of my poop stained shoes.
I like how he's like, no, Blue Suede Shoes. No, I hate that song. That's not one of my favorites.
He knew where you were going with that.
There you go. That's a shizzy and Rover's Morning Glory.
All right. Rob in Binghamton, New York. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Rob.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's happening?
Yo, so in regards to the opioid epidemic that the federal government's trying to, sweep under the rug, what I'm concerned about is that it all comes down to finances, right? It all comes down to money and whether or not they want to put money to treatment centers, you know, and spend money on opening new things. And I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. Currently, they're trying to, avoid incarcerating people who are, addicts, right? But I'll tell you what scares me is that you watch this government, instead of trying to get people treatment, you watch them try to lock people up and ship them to, like, other states that have prisons that aren't quite full or something. You know, that whole for-profit prison thing that's going on.
I would be concerned about that if it were a little bit different situation. If this were the crack epidemic and it was no one but black people smoking crack, I'd be worried about that. They'd be like, lock them all up, lock them up, lock these animals up. That's what it would be.
Well, what happened? some of these prisons, man, some of these prisons have contracts that they get paid even if they're not fully manned. You know, if there's not a full capacity of inmates, yeah. The government still has to pay that prison a percentage as if it was.
Yeah, you know, I think though because it is, I see a big difference in the way that the government has reacted to the opioid epidemic, which is a bunch of white women and men drugged out of their gourds. I see a big difference in the reaction to this than I did to the crack epidemic. Now, when I was a kid, it was, oh, crack babies and crack this, crack that. Oh, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. And because it was primarily inner city and black people doing crack, it seemed way worse. It was like, oh, my God, it's so terrible. Now that it's a bunch of white people doing heroin, they go, they need treatment. Oh,
are you sure,
don't
though?
Lock them. Look, you're a prime example, Nads.
I understand.
You're not in jail. If you were a black man in 1987 smoking crack, you would have been thrown away for 20 years.
But what I mean by that is I watched the CBS Evening News, and there was two separate stories on the epidemic. God, I'm struggling this morning. Epidemic in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
There was two straight stories about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is national news. I mean, this
it's national news, but they're not locking people up over it. It's a big story because everyone's doing it. I mean, I've never done heroin. I feel like I need to jump on the bandwagon because everyone else is. But the difference is the crack epidemic, they were locking people up left and right. This is like, these poor people need treatment. Don't you agree with me? Does anyone agree?
Oh, yeah, they're changing it. I mean, they're changing it because of this. I mean, it's always been lock everybody up, and now they're saying, well, we shouldn't be locking up addicts
now that
anymore.
It's a bunch of white people. It's exactly. Like, no. These poor people, they just need help.
Yeah, well, the jails are full. Yeah, they just took too many pills, and now they're addicted to heroin.
Struggling. Yeah, all right, let me take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
When a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival comes at 8:30 with RMG on MMS Station.
DJs get waterboarded.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Whiskey waterboarding, here he goes.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Let me go to Matt. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Rover.
Hey, man.
So I wanted to talk about, you guys were mentioning how black people get punished more by, you know, the judicial system than white people. I used to be a bail bondsman in Ohio, and I would sit at arraignments a lot, and two people would be arrested for the same crime, go in front of the judge, and then they'd have two completely different bails, and usually it was a white person would either get out, you know, that day or have a low bail, and the black person would be charged with, like, a $20,000 bail for a drug crime. So you're absolutely right when you say that, you know, they're punishing the black community harsher.
There was a big difference between the crack the crack epidemic, the response to that, and the one to this opioid epidemic. It is night and day. If it's just a totally different response, and there's sympathy for people with the opioid. Oh, they can't help it. In the crack epidemic, it was, we got to lock these people up because they're raging lunatics and animals who are going to rob us and rape us and kill us. And you're going to be addicted for life if you take one hit of crack and all of these things. It really kind of turned out, I read an article that the whole crack baby thing, you remember that when you were a kid? Yeah, there's always crack baby. In fact, that became an insult. You're a crack baby, or, you know, this. I read an article that said that really wasn't a big issue. I mean, sure, there were crack babies born, but it was no worse than any other drug.
It's like there's a lot of them. They made it.
Well, the excuse that jails are full too is ridiculous too, because they stuff those jails as far as they'll go. I mean, they'll give people maps to lay on the floor. They don't really care if they don't have a bed to sleep in at night.
Yeah, I will tell you that the whole jail system, and the guy that called in earlier, is 100% right. I mean, there are companies that are in the business of just incarcerating people, and they make money. The more prisoners they have, the more money they make, and there's an incentive then. And we've seen cases. There was one, where it was a youth camp kind of thing, like a youth detention center, and they were paying the judge however much money. And just every kid that would come before this judge sentenced to 1 year in the youth detention facility for getting caught with a joint or something like that. And so it gives incentive to people to lock people up, keep them in there. Oh yeah, he was a problem, so we can't, can't let this guy out. He assaulted this, or he did that, or he didn't put his soap in the right place, or whatever the case may be. It creates an incentive for you to lock up as many people as possible. But yep. Maybe those people don't need to be locked up.
One of the judges in that case, it was called the Kids for Cash scandal, because mm-hmm. he was accepting money. For every person he put away, I think he got a certain amount of money from the for-profit prison. He's now serving 28 years in prison.
Yeah. Miguel, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning.
Hello?
Yo!
Hey, how you doing, Wilbur?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling. I'm originally from the East Coast. I've been living in Cleveland for about 5 years now. And I just want to say what you said about the whole drug thing, that now they're showing pretty much, the president's showing more sympathy, sympathy because it's a whole different group that's pretty much out there in the map. So I just want to say you're 100% right, because, I'm 41, about to be 42 next month. And I know I grew up in that era where you heard about the whole drug thing and the crack babies and the whole people getting locked up. I mean, it was rare. At the time, they pretty much didn't have that many rehabs around, though. But like you said, it's a way different story now, because it's a whole different group.
Oh, yeah. It's like suburban mothers and stuff, and white women. Exactly. Suburban white women, and they go, they need treatment. I mean, it's just a totally different response, and it's interesting. The crack epidemic just turned out to has sort of fizzled out. It's like, whatever. It didn't really. I mean, you have to remember. You have to go back in time and remember how dire the warnings were, and how horrible this is going to be. And it was sort of trumped up. Not to use that phrase, no pun intended. It was sort of trumped up because of the people who were doing crack. They happen to be black dudes in the inner cities, and that's scary. Ooh, the bad crack. Now you have 17-year-old white kids doing heroin, and everyone, these poor kids. All right, thank you, Miguel. Jim in West Palm, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Love you guys first, like to say.
Thank you.
Listen to you since you stole LeBron.
Oh, well, yeah.
You started it.
You. Right? Yeah, tit for tat.
Yep, I got you. But hopefully now he'll go to L.A. But the thing I wanted to bring up to you was I think the difference between the opioid crisis and crack was opioids started by being prescribed by doctors to everybody. Crack was dudes that were selling coke, figuring out a way to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And these doctors are giving these drugs to people. These are supposed to be people on hospice that get these drugs. You're not supposed to live after a couple of years if you're taking this powerful of a pain medicine. And I was on morphine I had 11 surgeries in 3 years. I cold turkeyed from, everyone said I shouldn't have did it. There's no way you're going to go into seizures. You're going to do this. It was 2 months of hell. But I got off. I did it. The people that don't want to get off of you, some people have lower constitution. I lost my sister to it. When a doctor prescribes something to them, kids think it's cool or it's okay, they take it.
Well, the other big thing is, you're right about that it's it's doctors and it's drug companies that make this stuff. Now, a drug company, guess what they have? Billions and billions of dollars. Now, what comes with billions of dollars? influence on lawmakers, politicians, and people in power. Crack dealers didn't have that. You know, crack dealers didn't have a lobbying group. And so that's another big reason that these drug companies, they want to make as much money as possible. So they, you know, they lobby, they advertise, they convince doctors, they do everything in their power to prescribe. That's how they make money. They're not in the market. Now they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to help try to curb some of these prescriptions. But they didn't want to do that. Why? Because they make money selling this stuff. They don't make money not selling the stuff. They make money selling it. So they want to sell as much of it as possible. And, you know, crack dealers did not have that. And it's another reason why I think the response to this opioid crisis is way different than it was from the crack days. The crack epidemic back in whenever that was, the 80s, I guess. I don't know. That's a big deal when I was a kid. If you're, I'll never forget a story that we did years and years ago on the show, and I'll bring that up in just a moment. But in North Carolina, there is a woman who's upset because she's 19 years old. Her name is Aaliyah Palmer. She says that she was raped back in January. Now, she was pulled into the bathroom to have sex with a guy. She actually consented to that. She's like, yeah, bathroom sex, I'm down. Let's do this. And okay. So she consented to sex with this guy. But after they start having sex, I guess the guy got, you know, it was like violent sex, too violent for her. So she said, stop. He didn't listen. He continued going. And apparently in North Carolina, there is a ruling that happened in 1979 from the North Carolina Supreme Court that said that a person cannot be charged with rape if the partner initially consented to sex.
So if they change their mind...
If they change their mind in the middle, you can't be charged with rape. This is from 1979. They ruled at the time, well, if you agreed to it at the beginning, you know, you can't charge again. Now, they said that you could be charged with... I'll just read it, what it actually says. The court determined, quote, if the actual penetration is accomplished with the woman's consent, the accused is not guilty of rape, although he may be guilty of another crime because of his subsequent actions. Meaning, if you're punching a girl in the face, you could be guilty of assault, but not of rape because you consented to it.
That's a messed up law.
Well,
if you start it and then the girl wants you to stop, that's rape.
All right, I don't disagree with you, but I do want to remind you of a case that we talked about. This is about 10 years ago, maybe, and it sticks in my mind. There was a 19-year-old kid having sex with a girl in the back seat of a car. Do you remember this story?
So far, no.
And they're having sex, and the girl consented, but then she decided, I'm going to change my mind, and she said, stop. So the guy didn't stop. It took him about, the testimony in the case was it took him about 5 or 6 seconds to stop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You remember
more,
this?
Couple more pumps.
Couple more pumps.
Yeah.
5 or 6 seconds to stop. And because he didn't stop immediately, this guy was charged with rape.
Yeah, that's crazy. You're in the moment, right? You're kind of out of it.
Yeah.
But he did stop. That's the bottom line.
After 6 seconds, yeah, but they said that's not fast enough.
He's supposed to immediately stop?
Right. Freeze. Like that game. I was with Doogie's daughter, and I took her to this daddy-daughter dance because, no, I'm not her daddy, but I guess I would be the male figure in her life. So we went to this daddy-daughter dance, and it's like, you know, a bunch of elementary school. It's grade school kids, and they have the... At one point, they do this thing where you freeze, like in whatever position you're in, you freeze, and then you go back to dancing for 10 seconds and freeze. What?
Sounds fun.
It's like that. You're pumping away at a chick. Stop. Freeze.
Don't move. Yeah. It's almost impossible during the act.
Yeah. So how do you determine, and this is the only reason I bring up the North Carolina thing. So... if you don't stop fast enough, is that rape? I mean, what's the, is there a cutoff? Is it 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds?
I think it is the one guy stopped. The case from years ago, the 19-year-old, he stopped. It took him a couple seconds, but he stopped. Sounds like this other guy that was violent never stopped.
Yeah, and he was beating. It sounds like he was getting really violent.
I don't know if he was beating her. It just said that it turned violent. Now, I don't know if that's choking her, pulling her hair, smacking her ass. I don't know exactly what that means.
How long does consent stand for?
Apparently, just for a split, until you say no, which makes sense. But, you know, how fast do you have to respond once she says no, I think is the question. And by the way, you shouldn't be beating a girl if she...
No.
If she doesn't consent to that. I think that another gray area, especially with all of these... You know, we talk to girls on the Thursday hookup. We talk to girls all the time, and they're into this stuff ever since that 50 Shades of Grey. This has become fashionable to be into kinky BDSM stuff.
Sodomoschistic relationship.
Thank you, Jeffrey. That's right.
Sodomoschistic relationship.
Yeah. Say that one more time.
Sodomoschistic relationship.
Okay. What is it? Now Jeffrey comes in there for real. What is it, Jeffrey?
No, the reason why I said it the way I said that is to make sure that I wasn't saying something that would have to get dumped.
They're not doing that to each other.
No, I'm just saying, you were using the word that describes the relationship between Anastasia and Christian Grey. And,
what's the word?
Sodomoschistic.
Right.
Because you asked me to say it slow so you guys can get the pronunciation.
Well, slow one more time.
Oh, it's sodomoschistic.
Slow.
Oh, sodomoschistic.
Slow.
Sodomoschistic relationship.
All right. Thank you.
But I guess say normal too. Sodomoschistic.
Yeah, right.
Very normal.
There you go.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you for helping. And so sometimes, you know, you're not, I'm guessing maybe you're not sure these girls, you know, how do you cross the line if, you know, there's a certain amount of spanking they like, but too much spanking is too much? I don't know, but.
If the girl says stop, then you just need to stop.
Right. I don't disagree with you. That makes complete sense. I don't think you should be required to stop within 5 seconds. If you're literally in the midst of pumping away and the girl goes stop and it takes you a second.
You hear that.
Right. I mean, your brain is at that point probably at its most base instinctual level that it could be at. I mean, you're banging.
There's no blood in your brain at that point.
It's all in your other head.
Exactly.
You think 10 seconds?
I don't know. I don't know as if there's necessarily a specific time. I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of like that ruling where the Supreme Court guy said he can't really explain porn to you, but he'll know, obscene materials, yeah. But he'll know it when he sees it. And I think with this, it's kind of the same thing. I don't know. Is it 3 seconds? Is it 8 seconds? I think it varies from situation to situation, I suppose. But and also, it probably varies on what the guy's intent is. I mean, you know if the guy is, if he just didn't understand or it takes a second to register or if he's not stopping. I mean, I think you could probably tell the difference. Anyhow, should this law be changed in North Carolina that determines if the actual penetration is accomplished with the woman's consent, the accused is not guilty of rape, meaning you cannot withdraw your consent later. Should they change that?
Yeah, if a girl says stop and you don't and you keep going, that's rape. That's 100% rape.
You think so?
Yeah, as much as, you know, I hate that if a girl says yes, and then she changes her mind. If she's saying stop, as hard as it is to stop, you have to.
Sure.
It's rape, man.
So change the law.
You have to.
All right. Doogie, we do have the shizzy coming up, the news. What do you have on the way?
I'm going to tell you about a performer that was bum rushed on stage during the performance. Who was it? What happened? I'll have that story for you next.
All right. We'll get to that in a moment. Cam from Rochester sent a text message and says, the law is sexist. It states him. I did actually think about that when I was reading the actual North Carolina law. So what does that mean if it says It says, if the actual penetration is accomplished with the woman's consent, the accused is not guilty of rape, even though he may be guilty of another crime. Does that mean a woman can't rape a man? Does that mean a man can't rape another man if it's gay sex? I think he has a point, Cam. Has a point. Sexist. Ryan, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Then we'll get to the shizzy eventually. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Rover.
Hey.
What's up, Dieter?
Yo. Hey.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend for a long time who would love for me to force her to do things, even when she said no. She would purposely say no for me to continue doing stuff. We would have to, eventually it came to a point where we'd have to do a safe word. But she loved when I would not listen to her saying no.
So no didn't mean no in your girlfriend's case.
Right. Yeah. It was really confusing and crazy.
Stuff got crazy. Yeah. Because she would say no. Crazy. And she got off on that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, ooh.
Did she have a talk with you about that before?
I had to bring it up, actually. She didn't even bring it up. I was the one who had to bring it up.
So you said you want to rape her.
Well, no, he was confused because she kept saying, stop, stop, no, no, and...
He probably would stop, and she's like, no, 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 honey, I want you to keep going.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
There's like a playful stop. Right. Say like when you're tickling somebody, and they're like, stop, stop, stop. They really don't want you to, right? There's a line.
It started out like that, and then eventually it got into like, it would be in the middle of going, and she just like... I get like real physical sometimes because she told me she liked that and she's like she'd say stop and whatnot and she would not want me to stop honestly because if I stopped then she'd get upset or like say I'd want to like start
so she basically had a rape fantasy basically she liked
pretty much like if I did not follow through later on that night she'd be in a bad mood and then I'd be like what she'd be like why the heck did you not. Why did you not go through with everything? Why did you stop? You said stop.
What was your safe word?
Oh, the safe word was bananas. Nobody talks about bananas.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
All right, gotcha. Popcorn chicken.
I can do some popcorn chicken right now.
All right, thank you, Ryan. That was Jeffrey's safe word when it was...
If it got too heated, the conversation,
right.
He wanted his friend to call into the show, and the safe word was...
Popcorn chicken.
Boy, I could go for some popcorn chicken right now.
As he's hitting the microphone.
Just in the middle of his, whatever we're grilling him about, he just randomly says, boy, I could go for, we're not talking about eating or popcorn chicken or.
Boy, I could go for some popcorn chicken right now.
Jeffrey could really go for some popcorn chicken.
Let me take a break. We'll be right back with the shizzy next. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your next shot to win a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival comes at 8:30 with RMG on MMM.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
It's Rover's Morning Glory on 100.7 WMMS, Cleveland's rock station.
When life sucks, how do you plead?
I broke your Xbox.
What?
Your card has been declined for insufficient funds.
Don't stress.
Let Rover's Morning Glory take you away.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have on the way?
CNN cuts their ties with one of the commentators. I'll tell you who it is and why they cut ties. Have that story for you next.
All right, we will get to that in just a moment. I saw a story about Tim Tebow. You know, he plays for a single-A team.
Yeah, he's going to make it, I think.
I think near down at one of our stations. I think he plays for the St. Lucie Mets. Anyhow.
What league is that?
Is that single A?
It's, yeah, it's single A, yeah. Because Binghamton, where they might send them to, would be is double A. So it's got to be single A, I guess. Anyhow, so I saw a story that he was warming up. He's like on the on-deck circle getting ready to bat. You know how serious people are, but then some autistic kid called his name, and he stopped warming up, and he went over, he shook the autistic kid's hand.
Gives him a hug, like, yeah. Really focuses with this kid.
And then he walks, like, it's his time to bat, he just walks out there, hits a home run right after.
A short news story of it.
That is such a Tebow move.
Yeah, I know, awesome. Isn't it? Like, and then the mother is, like, saying, it was God that brought them together.
Divine intervention.
Yeah, you know, if God is doing that kind of stuff, I hope God isn't wasting his time with, let me put Tim Tebow and an autistic kid together at a baseball game.
Well, you know what happens after Tim Tebow hits that home run? That kid is still autistic.
Yes. But why didn't God say, let me get rid of your autism?
Exactly.
Sure. Here's a news story about it, I guess, short one.
New tonight, Tim Tebow gives one of his fans a very special gift.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. The Heisman Trophy winner, former NHL or NFL quarterback, I should say, and current minor league baseball player shakes the hand of a young fan named Seth. Seth has high-functioning autism and suffers from a genetic disorder that makes it hard for him to play sports. So he loves Tebow, and right after they shake hands, Tim Tebow steps to the plate and cracks a three-run homer.
Wow.
That young man, Seth, will never forget that.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, that's the thing's cool.
Tebow just goes out there, hits a home run. He's doing better than I thought he would at baseball. I remember as a joke. I mean, look, there are a million guys that can play single-A baseball. I mean, you have to be good, no doubt, but there's just the talent pool of to make it to the majors is incredibly difficult. Very, very, very difficult.
You think he's on roids?
Tebow?
No, he's too good of a guy. I mean, he's always praying all the time. And he's,
the only way to make it out of single-A is to juice.
Every single guy that's made it out of there is juiced?
Everybody else is juicing.
I don't know, just because first of all, he doesn't look that big in this video.
What?
In this video, he doesn't look that big. Is he huge? I mean, his arms?
He's enormous.
Is he?
Well, he works out. He's not like Barry Bonds level when he was at his top.
That would be a conundrum, right? If you're Tim Tebow and you're Mr. Jesus, does Jesus like the juice?
Yeah, I think he's okay with it. I know bodybuilders that are Jesus freaks, Rover.
Yeah.
And they roid. Because it's all, you know, by a doctor approved.
He doesn't look, I haven't seen a picture, but he doesn't look, I mean, his head hasn't doubled in size like Bonds' head did. Right. Remember that?
Oh, my, yeah.
Remember at the time people, like the equipment managers were saying, you know, I've been an equipment manager for baseball for 30 years. I've never seen someone's head grow an inch and a half. Like, yeah, your head size.
Yeah. Doubled.
His head size went
one
up.
One of my favorite stories.
An inch and a half. I mean, it's just crazy. Yes, Jeffrey.
Oh, and by the way, have you seen Sammy Sosa lately?
No.
He's bleaching his skin white?
Oh, that's years ago.
No.
Yes.
No. It has been, but it's gotten way worse.
Oh, I don't think it could get worse because I saw it a few years ago. And
he was like blue-eyed and all white.
He's whiter than me.
Yeah.
I'm going to start impersonating Sammy Sosa. I can pass for him now. Yes, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Wait a second. That's the old one. That's old. I've seen this pic. This is old, right?
No, that's there? Old. I got you a new one coming up.
Okay. Yes, Jeffrey. What is it? What were we going to say?
I was talking with one of the radio station guys in Binghamton about sports, you know? And I was talking to him how, like, you know, how you have, like, three different levels of minor league baseball. And I said, well, professional baseball is probably, like one of the harder sports to get into because you have to go through three different levels of minor league baseball just to get that call up to the majors. Whereas, like, in football or basketball, you play those two in high school and college. And if the NBA or the NFL scouts see that you're really good, then they draft you.
Does anyone go this NBA D League? What is that? Like a development league? Is that what that? I'm not an NBA fan. I mean, I'm indifferent, really. Does anyone ever get to the NBA out of this thing?
Absolutely.
They do?
Yeah, there was a role player on the Spurs last year, Ben Simmons, that actually he did really well in the playoffs.
Now, does anyone become a superstar out of that? Or
no,
you're just not good enough. I mean,
you could become a valuable role player.
Yeah. All right.
I sent Snitzer the new picture of Sammy Sosa.
Okay, let me have it. Whoa, jeez almighty. Wow, that's right? Crazy. I mean, he's wearing a pink hat, a pink shirt. He has he doesn't have blue eyes anymore, but he completely, his skin.
Well, here's a side-by-side Snitzer.
His skin is completely white now.
It's like Interview with the Vampire white.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's wearing like it looks like makeup.
So like the there's a side-by-side of him back in the day.
He had a nose job?
Looks like it.
Huh.
He's wow, that is just, that is nuts. I mean, he's the Michael Jackson of baseball.
Yeah.
I think he said he has the same thing Michael Jackson had. What's it called? Vertigo?
Such a liar.
Vitiligo?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think he's like, I have that.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know why else you would do this. All right, Doogie, are you ready for the shizzy?
Yes.
Here we go.
Hear the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory. In New York, a high school student died yesterday after a log fell on his head during a drill at an off-season football practice.
I heard about this.
Joshua Mileto, 16 years old. He was participating in a strength and conditioning camp at the high school. This is at Long Island. And the group of athletes, they were performing a Navy SEAL-style drill. And that requires players to carry a log over their heads. Well, this piece of wood, it fell and it struck his head. And they rushed him to the hospital. He was pronounced dead.
Dead? So he's carrying the log over his head. He drops the log, I guess, or loses his grip on it, or it's just too heavy. And it drops and hits him right on his own head.
I mean, this was a massive log.
I didn't see a picture.
It was like the size of a tree trunk, like a massive tree in your front yard, oak tree.
Right.
And it's just, I think, him and his buddy carrying this thing. You know, like the Navy SEALs do it. They carry it. They do sit-ups with it and stuff.
So it's a long log, basically. And,
yeah. I saw a picture, it was like 6 feet long.
Okay.
And as round as, I don't know, say like a basketball.
Okay.
And he's carrying it above his head. And his grip slipped. I think just boom.
So the one guy's probably behind him or in front of him, where they're carrying the log. So that guy's still holding it up, and it just swings down, basically, and hits him right in the noggin. Kills him. Well, I'm sure lawsuits will fly over this. How would you really predict that, though? I mean,
it's
an accident.
Is that like a super... There's the log. I'm looking at it. Is the picture of the scene there. That's a big log. Should the coaches be responsible at all? Should they have known that this was going to be dangerous before they did it?
There are a few high schools programs around the country that have started for the last few years doing this.
No doubt lawsuit.
It's a training technique. So every piece of weight equipment, Rover, it's heavy, a 45-pound plate. Should you ban all those and make them out of a...
Well, the lawsuit will say that those are designed for easy grip and
in controlled environments.
Yeah. And you're running around with a giant log held over your head. Why would you not expect to lose your grip on this? It's so big, or to stumble and lose control over it. I think
this was a volunteer basis program. They signed up. They paid for this.
It's a off season.
Yes, before 2 days start, you do like 2 weeks of just conditioning.
It's a bitch. Yeah. So, in Florida, a man said that he found a 6-foot-long boa constrictor that had been living unnoticed in his attic. So, Bob Vanderhurchen told the news that he saw a portion of the snake in the ceiling, and he's like, I could see it, but I only see a little bit of it. Well, calls a snake trapper, so the trapper arrived at the home, and after a little bit of wrangling, removed the 6-foot boa constrictor from the attic.
How long was it up there? How'd it get in there?
I don't know if it's at the bottom of this. I think it was for years.
Hmm.
I don't know how many years.
Mice.
Yeah.
How else would it survive?
Or maybe it could somehow get out for a while and then come back in there.
I think the snake slid into the attic from an overgrown tree branch that was hanging near the home. But they believe that it had been there for quite a while, according to when he pulled the snake skin out. They think that
that's how they can tell for years that
the snake had been living up there. Wow. That's disgusting. In Iowa, a 33-year-old man was arrested after police found meth on him after he allegedly tried to make a deposit at the bank. So the teller is alarmed when the man tries to make the deposit, calls the police, he gets arrested. Why would you be alarmed? Well, when the guy tries to deposit a fake $1 million bill, that's when you know something's fishy. They call the police, and officers arrived, asked him to empty his pockets. They found a small bag of methamphetamine. He's charged with possession of controlled substance, and he's behind bars on a $1,000 bond. CNN announced yesterday that they've officially cut all their ties with commentator Jeffrey Lord. This is regarding a controversial tweet that Jeffrey put out. And a lot of people were demanding the network to release him, so they did. So the trouble started when Lord got into a little bit of a fight on Twitter with Angela Caruso. She's the president of Media Matters. It's a group that he's had some issues with in the past. So Lord tweeted, Sieg Heil?
Sieg Heil.
What is it?
Sieg Heil.
Yeah.
You don't know it, do you?
Well, it's not what you said. It's a Nazi term.
Heil.
Heil.
That's right.
So he tweets that. So they go after each other on Twitter, and people are like, dude, what are you doing? So he said, which again is a popular salute used by the Nazis in World War II, and they said that Nazi salutes are indefensible, even when you're doing this on Twitter.
Yeah, but I think he was doing it. He was
saying that that's what they were saying.
Right.
He was spatting with them. And he said,
They're
taking it out of context.
I agree with him. First of all, I couldn't stand this guy, Jeffrey Lord.
Yeah, just sitting in his, he'd sit in his office all day, and they'd Skype in with him because he's the only guy that would defend Trump.
And he would have the most ridiculous arguments. And anything Donald Trump has ever done, this guy would find a way to, you know, Donald Trump could take a crap on the desk in the Oval Office and tweet out a picture of it, and Jeffrey Lord would come up with a reason of why that's good for America. So I didn't like the guy, but I completely disagree with firing this guy over that. I really do. I think this is an overreaction. I think that this is... Maybe they wanted to get rid of him for some other reason. I don't even think that could be true. If you wanted to get rid of him for some other reason, you wouldn't put him on TV every night for the past 2 years like they have.
He tweeted right after he got fired, LOL. He thought it was... He doesn't seem to care.
Well, maybe he has enough money to not worry about it.
And finally, Britney Spears was in Vegas performing her usual show at Planet Hollywood when a man climbed on stage.
Who is this? I'm sorry? Who?
Britney Spears.
Oh, okay. All right.
And bum rushed her on stage. We now know who the guy is, 37-year-old Jesse Webb. And he was arrested. He's from Las Vegas. And he was
asked. I have video of this, I guess. You want to see this? I haven't seen this. What was he up to?
They were saying at one point, she says, does he have a gun? Listen if she says that. That's what the headline said.
Is something okay? What's going on?
Security's
on
stage.
Different angle here.
Oh, I got it.
They wrestle him on the stage. They get him, take him away in handcuffs.
This happens too often.
Well, they got him right away.
Yeah.
You see,
I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens very often at all. I'm surprised they have him.
Security at the barricade.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes they get right up to the singer, and there's like they hug him. Right. That shouldn't ever happen again.
So he's been arrested and charged. For trespassing, and he could be hit with other charges as well. There you go. That's a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
I saw her perform last year at the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas, and she didn't sing a note.
I was going to ask that.
Not one.
How do you know? You're that close, you can see her lips?
Completely lip sync. Not one iota of actual singing. And then she had the nerve to go on an interview and say that she doesn't lip sync. I'm like, I saw this with my own two eyes and my own two ears. To say that you don't sing is absolutely ridiculous. You don't lip sync, right. It's ridiculous.
But don't they all do that? Like Taylor Swift that hit a microphone, came out. You kind of just sing along with the track.
What do you mean, a
no,
hidden microphone?
No, that was
microphone?
Britney Spears' hidden microphone.
No, 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 Taylor Swift, too. She was running around on stage, and you could actually hear her real vocals.
Remember we got in trouble for talking about it.
Oh, we did?
I swear that was Britney Spears.
No, it's Taylor
she was
Swift.
The top hats, the other people were on stage. He's right. He's right.
I'd have to listen
it
to that.
It was one of the awards.
I'm sure we have
herself.
That audio of that, probably.
She prides herself on singing live.
Taylor Swift does?
Yeah. All do it. The mic's on. You just kind of, so you can talk to the crowd, and then you sing along with the backing vocals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I watched Britney Spears. It's not even matching up. I mean, she's, whole sentences, her mouth is closed.
It's that bad?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember one time they, we were talking about that a while back, and you had Doogie do like live raw vocals of a Britney Spears song. Yeah. I think we have a clip of that.
Thanks.
Not ready.
All right, I have to take a break. Now, Dieter, in a case that you are obsessed with, Natalie Holloway, her father's going to be on the show with us in just a few minutes. How long has it been since she disappeared, you know?
Long time. There were so many.
Take a guess.
Jeez, this was probably mid-2000s. I'd probably say 2004, 2005.
Yeah, all right.
Is that right?
Yes, 2005. Yeah, it's been, I think, 12 years now. Dave Holloway is going to be on with us in just a moment. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Shot to win a trip to our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas happens now on MMS
Radio Station. Bye.
Craziest show on radio.
I've never seen anything like this.
Literally. I mean, like, four of the people on it have PTSD. Yeah!
We now return to Rover's Morning Glory.
Dieter, your Obsi Holloway case, it's been 12 years now.
Wow.
12 years that she has been missing. In Aruba, remember there, on a class trip, and no one knows what happened to her. That Joran Vandersloot guy, I think everyone agrees, that dude's responsible. He ended up killing someone else.
Yeah, his fiance or something?
No, it was a random woman.
Was it a prostitute?
No.
Something?
No, it was...
I thought he killed somebody in prison.
No.
I think he banged this
That's
chick.
That's what he's in prison for. Murdering a girl.
I think he slept with this chick, and then the hotel, he walked in, she was looking at his laptop, and
he discovered
it, and they killed
him. She didn't know who he was, and she Googled him, and then she, as it was my recollection, she Googled him, and he killed her. And she wasn't a prostitute or anything.
He banged her.
Yeah.
You're making it seem like it was just a stranger who walked up and killed somebody. No, he knew this lady.
No, he didn't. He met her that night.
Okay, but he banged her. He knew her enough to bang her. You're making it seem like just a stranger. He walked.
That is a stranger. I mean, that's a stranger. If you meet someone at 8 p.m. and you have sex with them 3 hours later, that's a stranger.
I'll just say one night stand is maybe the right term.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you want to call it. Dave Holloway, Natalie's father, is doing a six-part series on Oxygen, which premieres Saturday the 19th. And investigating more into the case, what happened to my daughter, basically.
I feel bad that he's...
He wants some closure.
There's
so many theories of what could have happened.
And Dave is on the line with us. Good morning, Dave. How are you, my man?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So what led to doing this series? Why now? What came about? Tell me how this happened.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of leads throughout the years, and as you know, a lot of those leads have resulted in nothing happening. And one day I was sitting at the office after finishing up a lead that we processed at the Marriott Hotel back in 2015, and of course I received this call that was allowed to pass through my staff, and the individual said he had information that I should listen to, and I was very hesitant about it at the time, so I took his phone number down. I was real busy that day, and Took his phone number down and gathered some information that he had to say, and was reluctant about calling him back, but I did, and he filled me in with additional details, and I decided that I needed to let somebody else vet this to see what they thought about it, and in came T.J. Ward, private investigator. He took the ball from there.
So it's been 12 years since your daughter went missing. Everyone is in agreement, I think, that this Joran Vandersloot guy is responsible, correct? That's what you believe, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes.
But he's never admitted to his involvement in the case. Is that correct?
Well, in a roundabout way, he's admitted on camera a number of times that he was responsible, but if it was in the United States and him admitting that information, you know, he would be locked up. But in Aruba, it's got to be in writing and signed, and then there has to be additional evidence to support that case. So that's one of the reasons he's never been charged.
His father was, I believe, wasn't he some sort of judge or something like that in Aruba?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a judge in training, and then, of course, that's where this thing gets all, you know, his dad's a judge in training. It's a small island. The police chief at the time was one of his good friends and the godfather of Joran Vandersloot. So when Natalie went missing in 2005, you know, you've got all these characters together, and if you're a police officer assigned to the case, it's like, okay, what do you do? And over the first 10 days, they interviewed Joran Vandersloot, Deepak and Satish Kalpo, and made the conclusion in a matter of days that they were not involved. And they arrested two innocent security guards, and I think now that that was a ploy to get us off the island, and they've solved the case.
So you think that if this were anyone else that was not connected, that things may have turned out differently, you may have had a resolution, they may have investigated this more vigorously at the time?
Yeah, I think if it was anyone else, you know, you look at this and you say, okay, you've got a 17, 18, 19-year-old, three people involved, and three people who last saw Natalie. Any detective worth his salt could have separated the three and solved this case, I mean, the same day. And that's what I thought when I went down there, but I was pleasantly, or not pleasantly, I was very shocked that that did not happen.
So tell me, Dave, how, let's go back in time 12 years, how do you find out that your daughter is missing?
I received a telephone call. Well, Beth received a call from one of the chaperones that Natalie missed her flight. She immediately got on a private jet and flew to Aruba and gave my son instructions to call me immediately and let me know that she's headed to Aruba and Natalie missed her flight. And so I started making arrangements myself to go to the island and with full expectations that she would be located, and here we are 12 years later.
Yeah, what did you think happened? I mean, when you get this phone call, the first thing that goes through your mind, are you thinking tragedy or are you thinking something else, like she got drunk and missed her flight, or she, I mean, what was going through your mind? What did you think had happened?
Well, I know Natalie was a very prompt and responsible person. I knew that she's never late for anything, and how in the world could she have missed her flight? She's with roommates down there, and of course I suspected that something bad had happened, and I was basically, as time went on, prepared for the worst. I suspected I missed my flight the first night because of the situation occurred where Delta Airlines had rebooked her flight to save that flight. And when I called them, they said, well, her flight's been rebooked. And I thought that, well, maybe she did miss her flight. And I canceled. And, of course, where I live, it's, you know, you just can't jump on a plane and end up in Aruba the same day. So the next day, I was able to get a flight out and get to Aruba, and I knew then that after 24 hours, no sighting of Natalie, that this is not looking good.
So then it becomes a big story, the media frenzy surrounding her disappearance. What was that like to live through? I mean, most people, you know, I don't know what you do for a living, Dave, but, you know, most people, they live their life. You're minding your own business. You're not expecting to be thrust into the spotlight. Some people seek out the spotlight, entertainers, things like that. But you're thrust into the spotlight just overnight, basically.
If you can imagine sitting in your backyard with a barbecue grill going and minding your own business, and then you receive a telephone call, and it's like you take your house and just dump it over, and that's what it was like—a state of shock, and it just takes a long time to get over that. You know, where is she? You know, the last time I saw her was at her graduation a few days before that, and spoke with her and took that last photo, and that's it. Last time you ever talked to her or see it, your daughter, and then this. And you thought that, or I thought there would be answers within the first few days.
Right.
And there wasn't, and, you know, I kept on thinking, okay, well, we're going to find something, and still, 12 years later, here we are, not knowing. I never would have dreamed that this thing would have gone this far without knowing anything.
Dave Holloway is on with us. His daughter Natalie went missing 12 years ago in Aruba. They are doing a 6-part series that will allow you to follow Dave as he searches for answers to figure out what happened to Natalie there in Aruba. That premieres Saturday, August 19th, 9 p.m. on Oxygen. Did it make it, did the situation, was it more difficult for you personally? You're going through this, and I don't know when you were divorced from Natalie's mother, Beth, but did that add any complexity to the situation? Because, you know, not as far as the investigation goes, that goes where it goes, but... you know, I don't know what the relationship was like, if you guys were on friendly terms, if it was a contentious divorce or anything like that. But anytime you're thrust into a situation like that with an ex, it probably is even compounds things.
No, it's always been cordial. You know, the centerpiece was that we look at Natalie's best interest rather than our own when it comes to, you know, the children. Beth proceeded, her family proceeded in the police side of it, and me and my family proceeded on the side of searching for Natalie on, you know, the ground game. And so it worked out just fine. You know, she was communicating with the police and FBI and the officials, and I was working the island doing the searches, and I have to continue to do so.
Did you guys turn over every square inch of that island pretty much when you're searching down there in those initial days, weeks, months?
When I got down there, the first thing I did was tried to retrace the steps that we knew of, and we started from Carlos and Charlie's, and we knew that they'd already given an initial statement. We knew they would circle around the lighthouse and then came back to the Holiday Inn. So the first thing we did when we got off the island was made communications with the police, which really surprised me, because the first police station we stopped at, and we're looking at by then 48 hours after she went missing, and one of the police officers at that location had no idea that Natalie was missing.
Wow, you're kidding. Wow.
Went to another police station, same thing, and they finally said, well, okay, well, it's probably the police station near the hotels. And we finally showed up at that location and kind of got a remark from the investigating officer that, a lot of these girls come down here and she'll show up. And it's like, wow. And so afterwards, me and my brother-in-law and brother proceeded to around the lighthouse in the middle of the night and, you know, tried to do some searching with the car lights, and got up the next morning and gathered up a group of people and proceeded to start at the north end of the island at the lighthouse and search the sand dunes and move our way back to the Holiday Inn.
Now, Aruba is not a, you know, this is not a huge island. To be missing for 12 years, there are only so many places you can be. Do you have a theory as to what transpired? Is her body still on the island, do you think? I mean, what happened?
Well, you know, as part of closure, you've got to have a theory of what happened. And, of course, you gather up information. Some of it is theory. And, you know, you try to look at the eyes of who was involved. And you're looking for closure. And we had a sense of that, you know, when Yorn was locked up in jail for the murder of another girl, and then we had her declared deceased. And, of course, our searches on the island, the island's only like 5 or 6 miles wide and 20 miles long, and, of course, we thought, okay, if we do a square mile a day, you know, we'll be done in,
right,
you know, 3 months, you know. But the problem is you know, you got the ocean. And, you know, that complicates matters of where do you search and what. You know, how could these guys have disposed of Natalie in that short period of time? And, you know, it makes you just wonder what did they do with her?
A lot of fathers would, a lot of guys would think to themselves, if they were in your position, Dave, Dave Holloway is on with us, they would say, I would hunt these guys down, these Calpo brothers and Yoron, who's now in jail, and I would throttle them until they gave me answers. Did that cross your mind?
Well, you hear that from other people, and here's what I'd do, but when you're in that situation, you have other family members, you have other children, you get into that situation where if you really did do it, then you place yourself in a situation that you shouldn't be in. And yeah, everyone thinks that, but you know, when it comes out to actually doing it, you've got to think about, you know, am I getting ready to commit a crime that's going to put me behind bars? So
have you ever talked to in person either these, I don't know whatever happened to the Calpo brothers, but have you ever talked to them in person or Yoron in person?
I've never talked to any of them in person. At the time I was there, they were in jail most of the time. I did attempt to visit Yorn Vandersloot while he was in jail. I just wanted to make sure that, referring back to the last question, that there was bars between he and I, and what better place to do it would be in the jail. So I went and scheduled an appointment to see him, and by the next day, his father had canceled that appointment and inserted himself in it. And basically, I met with Paulus Vandersloot for 45 minutes outside the prison walls. And
that's Yoron's father.
Yeah, this is Yoron's father. We had a handshake, and I didn't let go. And we squeezed hands for 45 minutes until both of our arms were shaking. And he knew I meant business, and he basically told me at the very end, he said, Yorn didn't have anything to do with this. I understand your situation, but I'll do anything to protect my son.
Do you believe, did you get the sense of talking to him that Yoron's father was involved and knew what had happened?
You know, at the time, I always thought he had something to do with it. Obviously, he was arrested and detained in jail for a number of days. I knew that he was the brains behind everything. And, you know, when you come out and make a statement, nobody, no case, that's a strong statement. And I knew then that we're in trouble. And then you start making the connections and connecting the dots that the police chief at the time is his best friend, and you know, it's you're behind the eight ball.
Last question for you, Dave. At this point, if you're on, everyone believes that he had something to do with it, but At this point, why wouldn't he just tell you? Why wouldn't he reveal what actually happened? What does he have to lose? He's in prison for 30 years or whatever for the murder of this other girl. And once he's out, I think he even faces extradition to the United States on trying to... I think he offered, I'll tell you where the body is for $250,000. So I think they have him. The U.S. government could get him on some charges of extortion or whatever. What does he have to lose? Why wouldn't he, if put yourself in his shoes, why wouldn't he just tell what happened?
Well, he's a psychopath, and he knows that his trump card is the negotiation of telling the truth of what happened and trying to use that to possibly lessen his sentence when that time comes, when he's released for this other crime, which will be 21 years. So those people, those type of people keep you hanging, and they're not going to reveal their cards, so to speak, until it benefits them, not us.
Well, Dave, I appreciate the call. You can see this series. It's a 6-part series. It premieres Saturday, August 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern on Oxygen. And you can follow Dave as he attempts to uncover what really happened to his daughter, Natalie Holloway, after she went missing in Aruba. Dave, thank you so much. And obviously, I mean, good luck. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but we wish you well and hope that at some point closure comes in this, because I think everyone can put themselves in your situation and sympathize with
what
you've
been going
through.
Do they find closure at the end of the series?
You gotta watch it.
Dave, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Gotta watch it.
That's right. Watch it. Thank you, Dave. Dave Holloway. I think we probably would have heard if they... found.
Well, I don't know if he was going to say, like, hey, yeah, we did find something in the last part.
I think that probably would have hit the news by now. But, I mean, just that's what they made the series.
Can you imagine, like, trying to still get closure after all these years?
Well, he said I'm telling you, I don't even have kids. I would have hunted that guy down right when they let him out of jail in Aruba.
Is this what his life is now, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Does he have...
He probably has a job. He's probably just doing his regular stuff. Yeah.
But how could you ever, not every day, think about it?
Of course. He says every night, but when I get into bed, I think about my daughter.
I would track that guy down. I'm not kidding you here either. I would track the guy down. I would, first of all, I would train for probably a year. I would train in, I'd become like a ninja.
Like Batman.
Yeah, I would train in how to kidnap someone, how to torture them, how to interrogate them.
Get yourself in prison.
Oh, I would have all sorts of supplies. I'm just saying when he was out of prison, okay. You know, getting into that prison, that's tough. But, you know, he was jailed in Aruba. He got out. He was out for 5 years walking around this planet. That wouldn't have happened if that was my daughter.
Oh, I think I don't know if I'd do all the training. I'd just walk up and shoot him right in the face.
No, because you want an answer. No. So you have to go medieval
on his ass.
You have to get this guy, and you have to somehow, like, spirit him away off this island so that no one knows. I mean, you have to have a whole plan as to how you do this, and you lock him up and you torture him until he tells you.
I would watch that Taken movie on a loop. Remember Taken?
Yeah. No.
With Liam Neeson?
Yes. And his daughter was kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. You can't watch that.
And he goes, I will find you and I will kill you. I will just watch that, study that movie, and become that father.
Yeah. Seriously, I don't think I would be able to.
What you?
I might try other avenues to try to find out what happened at first, you know, but when you are up against a wall. Nads in there talking on the
private radio show.
Turn off
that
mic there, Jeffrey. Jeff. Thank you.
Jeffrey just has the mic on and not speaking.
All right. No, I was just waiting to pipe in, so.
So once the other avenues were exhausted, you realize this is not going to, we're not going to get this info. That's when I think you turn into a ninja and you get this guy and you torture him until he fesses up. You torture, torture, torture.
That Halle Berry.
And then after he tells you what happened, you have to then go verify. You know?
But he kept lying. These undercover videos you ever see,
this reporter,
and he's like, yeah, I killed her. Or my dad, he buried her in a house, in the foundation of a house. It was a lie.
Yeah, all of it. So that's what I'm saying. You don't let him go, or you don't. You tell him you'll let him go if he tells you. Obviously,
no, take
you
me. Go take me to the spot.
You'd kill him, but you have to get the info from him. You can't say take me to the spot. People are going to see you. You kidnapped this guy.
At that point, you don't care if you go to jail. You want to find your daughter and have closure in prison.
No.
Take him, ransom, kidnap. Oh, my God.
I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
Is that really from the movie?
Yeah, that's the famous line.
Sweet part of the
movie.
Well,
the last line's the best. I will find you.
Is ransom the same as taken?
He cut that, though.
He didn't cut that famous line.
Good stuff, cut it out.
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it.
I can play it for 30 seconds.
You. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
That's it.
No, in the movie Ransom, Mel Gibson's an airline executive, and his son gets kidnapped, so he uses the ransom money as sort of bait to draw the person out into the open.
And what's the famous line he says to the guy, to the kidnapper?
I can't remember that, Dieter, because I only saw the movie once.
You remember?
Yes.
What?
May God be with you, because if he's not, nobody will be. Something along those lines.
Something along those lines. I think it's, that didn't
That's
sound
it.
Right.
No, it goes,
it sounded off.
May God be with you. If not, nobody will be. Damn it.
Now there's a damn in it.
That's the famous line.
Yeah.
Necessary Evil 31 says, Rover, you'd start training to be a ninja and end up in physical therapy for a year. Screw you, Necessary Evil. Although you're probably right. I'd probably start training and go, this is too hard. Let me just hire someone to be my ninja. Yes, Jeffrey, what is it?
If that was the case, I would strap him to a gurney, and if he doesn't fess up, I will take a baseball bat and render his nuts useless.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the shizzy, the news, right after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
No station.
Dieter wants to start hunting and killing his own food. He's been training as a chicken choker for years now.
That makes sense, right? Makes complete sense.
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have on the way, Dougie?
I know you love when I do lists, but this one I think we'll all enjoy. This day and age, movies that couldn't happen because of technology, and it never would have gotten past the first 5 minutes because you would have fixed it with technology and what you would have changed. So I'm going to give you the list of movies that could never happen these days, how it would change the movie around. I'll have that for you next.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. Tommy in Brooklyn, New York. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, brother.
Yo.
I forget the kid's name. I think the kid's name was Johnny or something. And it was actually on the news because they were following this guy because he did such a heinous crime. And the guy stepped out of a phone booth, blew the guy's head off, dropped his gun, put his hands up in the air. He didn't do a day in jail.
No, that was an airport.
Yeah, it was in an airport, right?
Yeah, Gary
he was
Plouch.
At the phone, though. He was
at
a phone booth.
Phone.
Right, pay phone.
Yeah, right. He snuck out of the pay phone and he just killed the guy.
I don't remember all of the details of that, but
yeah, it's a long time ago.
It wasn't a karate instructor kidnapped his son and was raping him.
I don't know. I know he raped him and killed him, and you know, kept him kidnapped for a week or two.
I do have.
And they finally caught the guy.
Here's a story. Thank you, Tommy. I'll play this for you. This is. Let's see if I can get to this here. This is what he's talking about.
A karate instructor had abducted 11-year-old Jody Plochet several weeks earlier and taken him to California. When Jody was rescued and returned to his family, his father Gary was coping with reports that Doucette had sexually assaulted his son.
So he actually didn't even kill the kid. He just kidnapped him, took him to California, and diddled him.
Gary was coping with reports that Doucette had sexually assaulted his son.
We didn't know what to do. You just feel helpless.
10 days later, when the police flew Doucette back to face trial, Gary Plochet was waiting with a gun.
As the suspect came through the airport, I readied my camera, raised it up to get a close-up shot of him. So I got a close-up shot, and as he got parallel to me, whoa. Gary Plochet shoots and kills him.
Gary, why? Gary, why? And to this day, it stands out in my mind, the shooter, Gary Plochet, says, if it had been your child, you would have done the same thing, too.
Today, Abram Magull is an assistant U.S. attorney and views that tape through the eyes of a federal prosecutor.
I would have to say the videotape was the most ideal witness in this case. You can actually see him take the gun out of his boot, pull it up to the shoulder level of Jeff Doucette and pull the trigger and shoot him.
Yet Plochet, after pleading no contest to manslaughter, got off with only 5 years probation.
There you go, 5 years probation.
He was sentenced to 7 years in prison, but they gave him 5 years probation.
The guy didn't even kill his son, just diddled him. That's bad enough.
What would happen now?
Maybe the same. If you have the right judge.
Maybe the same. Maybe the same.
A jury would never convict a father for doing
that. Yeah, I don't think you'd want to go in front of a judge. A judge is more going to, you know, they're probably less emotional than a jury. You want a jury where they're a little more emotional, not going by the letter of the law.
Do you remember we had that guest on that supermaned over the table to try to attack his daughter's murderer in court?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Did he get in trouble for that?
They probably let him off, right? What are you going to do? I mean, I don't remember. Well, you do have the shizzy coming up in just a moment. Doogie was doing something that really irritated me during the commercial break. I'm still trying to decipher her mindset. You know, it's very difficult to figure Doogie out and figure out the logic,
her motivations.
Well, so I'm reading this thing. She had provided me with a Dave Holloway packet. You know, a little bit on the Natalie Holloway disappearance. And during the commercial break, I was reading this, and she says, I mean, I was reading it before, obviously, too, but I'm reading it some more during the commercial break. She goes, "Don't throw that away." I go, "Why not? Just don't throw that away." I said, "Why not? I want to have that." I go, "Doogie, you typed it. You have it as a file on your computer. Why keep the paper?
What should do with that? Keep the card and the paper."
Yeah, but can't you hit save on Microsoft Word?
I do. Like, an example is Bert Kreischer was here, and I printed everything out, and I couldn't, because I start the file at home, and then I finish it here, and sometimes it gets all wonky. So
it's all what?
Wonky.
Wonky?
What does that mean?
Weird. So
wonky?
The N in there.
Wonky.
Wonky. So you said to him, you said, "Give me that packet of Bert," and so I went to print it, and it was all wonky. And so I'm like, "Well, where?" I would have gone to the top of the pile, and boom, it was there. But you threw it away. So
that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you printed it out,
then there's a copy.
There's
on the
a
computer.
File somewhere that you could print. You
Unless
have
you
it.
Hand wrote it, like you did it, and then you decided, "Oh, there's this couple things I forgot to hand," and you hand wrote some stuff on it.
Sometimes it like saves like compatibility mode or what? I mean, it just gets weird.
You're doing something wrong then, obviously.
I obviously am. So just don't throw it away. Why does that bother you?
Well, what are you going to do with this? You're going to hold this card that says Dave Holloway promoting a 6-part series that allows viewers to follow and premieres Saturday, August 19th. What do you think the odds are that you're ever going to use that card again?
Where does this? That's true, but where does the file go, too? Is there a file system somewhere?
No, she just throws crap around back there. You'll never find it. Never find
so
it.
Much
there,
stuff and files shut and up. Vanilla folders in the office.
I just threw out the card there.
Don't. I'll come get it.
Okay, good. I'll throw this out in the trash.
We'll never use that again.
She's on the phone for, like, it seemed like 10 minutes. I think she had to call the nanny to try to send her this document, too.
Oh, is that who she was talking to?
I think, because I just kept hearing, "Go here, Word," and it's just like two people that don't know how to use a computer.
Doogie goes, just attach it to an email, and the lady says something back, and usually goes, it's the paperclip symbol. And she says something back. She goes, in the upper right-hand corner, click that. This lady never sent an email before.
No, it was Nanny who's watching my daughter. Yeah. So I started doing this prep last night, got up early to finish it.
Yeah.
So I had all this stuff in a Microsoft Word document on my computer. I thought I had emailed it to myself so I could print it out at work.
Now, yeah, but you didn't.
But I didn't. So I had to have Nanny email it to me. My daughter was sleeping. I'm like, God, I wish Gia was up because she'd be able to do it. So I had to walk Nanny through. Gia woke up during this process, and she did it.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
It's going to... She won't use it.
No.
But
this is good.
They do have products. We actually have one, because all of us have one. Microsoft OneDrive. Google has Google Drive.
I use that one. It's free. It's
now,
great.
Now,
I don't know what that means.
Well, that means that you save it, and when you're at home, you save it to OneDrive or Google Drive, and you can access that from where, Charlie?
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
I mean, you could be in China sitting there, and you can access everything.
Doesn't
right there.
Jeffrey write his book that way?
Jeffrey can understand how to use this.
Yeah, well, actually, I have to give Charlie credit. He introduced me to that.
He came up with the concept.
I invented it.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say he invented it. I'm just saying Charlie introduced me to it and how to use it. That's how, when I used to log the show, I used to do that. Instead of handwriting it before, when anyone probably could not read my writing, so I just... You know, did it like that on my laptop back in the day. Which
you
I
saved it all on Google Drive.
No, just Google Drive.
Ew.
Speaking about his book, you have the latest chapter right behind you.
What?
You have not even looked at it.
How many pages?
One page, but
wait, one? I thought it was gonna be like a 15-page.
This
packet.
Is where we're at right now.
Oh, do you know how many people? Hands. By the way, it's not in my hands. Nothing's in my hands.
No, it's right there. You were the last one. You were supposed to look at it. Do you see it right there? It's like two pages.
I just want to tell you that we had a lot of people when we were in Binghamton, New York, that came up to us as we were signing stuff. And what did they have? They had Jeffrey's book.
Nice.
And Blood in the Studio. And they are eagerly awaiting a sequel to that book. Jeffrey, he's like,
it's up to you.
Get to it when I get to it. It's not up to me. Keep writing. What do I have to do?
I have one idea. So Charlie has been making it a mission to one-up Jeffrey every chance he gets.
Why don't you write a book that takes over the storyline?
Why doesn't Charlie write the second chapter?
That's make all that sweet, sweet money?
Oh, yeah. I'd cut the checks right to you, Charlie.
Unless, Jeffrey, do you like that idea, or do you want to finish yours?
I'm going to try to finish mine once I get through writer's block.
Finish it this weekend.
It's been going on for how many years?
Yeah, too long. But
Jeffrey wrote a book. It sold a ton of copies. He made a bunch of money. Now he goes, who cares? Who needs?
I didn't think that the people would clamor for a sequel because of the
everybody's been asking.
Ends.
You don't have to think.
You didn't think people would clamor for a sequel yet that you sold a gazillion copies of it. Why would you think people wouldn't clamor for a sequel?
I mean, at the time I wrote it, I didn't think they would want one.
But then
you wrote it,
but then
and then they bought it.
I got part of it written, but I have to finish it.
Well, finish it, because if you don't, Charlie's going to swoop in.
And I'm going to write it about Jeffrey LaRocque, the gayest man of all time.
No.
Do you want that, Jeffrey?
He'll finish
it. No, not really, Charlie.
Well, then you write it, man.
All right, then.
Anyhow, so Doogie took out the Dave Holloway packet from the... garbage for some reason. Now, do you understand the concept of OneDrive and Google Drive? And
I can't really describe it enough. It's a folder. Basically, think of it like a folder where you save things.
Do I have it like
let
on
me
fin- my
Let
laptop?
Me finish. Just listen. This is what my mom does, too. You try explaining things to them, and they just immediately start talking.
But where is it?
Listen to
listen.
Him.
It's a quit looking.
Google?
Stop.
It's a folder. Just like any other
on your computer.
Quit looking.
Okay.
Stop looking at your computer and just listen. Look at Charlie.
OneDrive.
Look at Charlie.
It's a folder, just like any other folder.
Got it.
But it doesn't just live on the computer. It lives online.
A cloud.
So you can drag and drop things into it,
okay.
And then it just updates immediately. And then from wherever, you could go from your phone, an iPad, you could be, you could log in.
So when you save this at home, you can access it here.
You could log in from any computer and just put your password in, your Gmail password, and there's all of your stuff. Everything.
So how do you get to it? Is it OneDrive? What's it called?
That one I don't use. I don't know how that one works.
It's exactly the same. Yeah. It's we all have that with our Outlook accounts.
Okay, where is it? So do I have to have a Gmail? Do I go to Google?
No, yeah.
No, I'm just asking. No one's telling me.
We'll help you out, okay?
I'll for sure do that. I don't know why I wouldn't, but...
She still won't save it in there. She'll go, I thought I saved it in my OneDrive, and I you know, it's saving it in compatibility mode. What the hell is that? Are you ready for the...
Yes.
Shizzy doozy? Here we go.
Hit the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
There's an American seabed exploration company, and they have made it known that they've offered to take the financial risk of conducting a renewed search for missing Malaysia Airline MH370.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, a lot of people did. Too. So this offer comes after victims' families have been urging, please, the Malaysian government, let's go. Please let a private sector hunt for the wreckage, move forward with
this. Yeah, why not? I mean, how could they even stop that?
It's been after 3 years. Malaysia, Australia, China. They've suspended a 46,000 square mile search of remote seabed. This is in the southern Indian Ocean. And they failed to find any trace of the Boeing 777.
So, did some plane parts wash up in Africa? Do you remember this?
Yes.
This
not- yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They said they found no evidence of the plane so far. There's been small parts.
Well, of where it actually is.
They have no
idea. Resting place. But they do have some actually decent-sized parts of it that washed ashore.
But they have they don't know where it is. So these guys are saying, we'll take the risk. Right. We'll take the cost. We want to do it. A West Texas A&M University police officer has died just 2 weeks after he was bitten by a feral cat. And this was while he was on duty. So this... Officer Platt responded to a call about
Did you say died?
Yeah. I'm telling you, he responded to a call about the wild animal on campus. This was July 26th. So while he was dealing with this wild cat, he got a bit on the hand by this cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was seriously injured, even though he was wearing his gloves at the time. So last week... A week ago yesterday, he's not feeling good, this cop. He's just starts to feel sick, and he was taken to urgent care, and sure enough, it's because of this cat that he died.
Well, what did he die of?
They said he was given medication so that they would prevent infections, which caused the severe reaction, and ultimately died from medical complications after being bitten. That's what they're saying.
Doesn't really clear it up too much for me. But
can't be cat scratch fever. You ever hear about that?
I don't think it's that. See this other cat story? This guy, I haven't watched this video, but...
I don't want to hear this story. It's really bad.
Guy in Staten Island brutally beat and stabbed his neighbor's cat, then dumped it in a trash can. He live-streamed the entire thing on Facebook. Tyrike Richardson broadcast Facebook Live. He struck Chester the cat repeatedly in the face and body with a knife and stick, then threw a chair at Chester the cat and left him to die in the trash outside. The cat suffered blunt force trauma, punctured lung, rib fractures, bloody nose. The cat, believe it or not, survived. I don't know how.
Wow. Oh, my God. Nine lives.
But the whole thing, I mean, they have video. This is off of...
No, really? Don't. Why would you play this?
I'm not going to play it because I don't want to see it either. I'll show you a still photo of this. See that? Look at him hitting him with the... Look at that. Hitting him with the stick. The cat with a stick there.
That's so gross.
I mean, he's got to be in... You can never let this guy back out.
He'll be out in 2 years.
You execute this guy, I think. Look, if you're going to do that... this guy... Here's a picture of the guy, Tyrike. Loser. He is... been charged, obviously, of course, and as being a $50,000 bail was set. But I think they look. If you people who do those kinds of things to animals are they're psychos, and they wouldn't have a problem doing that to a person. I don't think.
No, to a baby, they can do it.
Yeah, go on, douche.
No, wait. I don't want to mean to change subject real quick, yes. Rover. But I just sent you something. Joran Vandersloot had a daughter while he was in prison.
Uh-huh.
He got married, and I want you to check the name of this daughter.
It's not Natalie, is it?
It is Douchey Vandersloot. This is true.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? The kid's name is Doogie.
You think he's a fan of the show?
Perhaps. I don't know. Doogie, did you know this?
I did not.
The daughter was born, this is 3 years ago, in Peru. How did he get this? He married a 25-year-old woman. How do you marry someone while you're in prison? And
he banged her in prison.
Yeah, I guess they give conjugal visits there.
Or do you do it against the bars? She kind of backs up and he does it through the prison bars.
But they named the daughter Doogie.
I can't believe that.
It's true.
Spelled the same?
No.
But close.
It's even worse. It's D-U-S-H-Y. Doogie.
Doogie.
Yeah. It's Doogie Vandersloot.
Nice.
Wow.
What movie are we going to send Jeffrey to? The Nut Job 2?
No.
Animated flick? How about Annabelle Creation? Scares the crap out
what
of me.
What is that?
This scary movie.
Oh, he'll like that. Take his wife to that.
Dude, this is bad. They believe this is going to make a lot of money. $35-40 million.
Did you see the first one?
This is the second part, yeah.
No. What was the first one called? Annabelle?
Annabelle.
What's that about? I've never even heard of this.
Did you ever see The Conjuring?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I don't really watch scary movies that much. Oh, I'm kind of a pussy.
Is that because of B2?
It's entirely because of her, but also...
They're not that good.
Yeah, some of them are all right.
I know, every once in a while, like that Don't Breathe was good.
Yeah, that was really good. That's like a thriller. The Get Out, did you see that? Get
that
Out.
That was great.
I can't watch any of those movies.
Get Out was good.
B2 will just freak out. She in the middle of the night last night, it must have been 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. She sits straight up, starts hitting me. I'm dead asleep. We're in bed. She starts hitting me. I go, what? What? She goes, I just woke up. I had a nightmare. She had a nightmare that she was living with her parents and a stalker broke into the house. And I don't know what the stalker was doing, but that was her dream. And she says she has nightmares every night.
She doesn't watch scary movies. That's so strange.
I've never met someone so afraid of everything. She's absolutely petrified of everything. You walk down, if you walk into a room, she doesn't expect it. She almost has a heart attack.
Oh.
Yeah, she's very jumpy. Yes, Jeffrey.
What about that movie Detroit? It's about the 1967 riot that tore up the city.
That was out last week. It bombed. It came in eighth place.
Oh. Yeah, why don't you go see this? Have you seen Annabelle, the original one?
Mm-mm.
You never did? You like scary movies.
I never said I like scary movies.
Are you kidding?
You go to
his
so many
wife
scary
likes
movies.
Scary oh. movies.
But he... I don't like scary movies, but he
You don't
likes,
like any scary movies?
I don't. I don't watch scary movies for another reason, and that is I lived alone for many, many years.
That's why I don't.
So you watch this movie, and if there's like one weird scene, like someone staring through the window or whatever, yeah. and then it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm walking around in my underwear in my house, and then I start getting freaked out. You know, it sticks with you.
I'm not a Catholic at all. Anti-Catholic. But exorcism movies freak me out.
Like The Exorcist?
The Exorcist, The Conjuring, the Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Those don't freak me out in the least, because those are the fakest ones. Like, I'm not...
Peter, do you watch those?
Yeah, The Exorcist? That was bad. That messed me up when I first saw that.
Yeah.
That would mess me up.
Well, you guys told me to watch, what, Lights Out?
That was bad. Yeah. No, I said that was bad.
I liked it.
It was so stupid.
That's what you should watch. Because anytime the lights are out, something bad happens, that'll freak you the F out.
So you liked it?
No, I didn't like it. I thought it was dumb.
So why tell me to watch that?
Because you just said stuff in the dark freaks you out. That's the whole movie is lights out.
Yeah, every
out.
Time they turn the lights out, like a woman appears.
And I can see you getting like scarred from
how
this.
Can you see them if the lights are out? How do they film the movie?
Good question.
There's noises.
Snitzer would know.
I think you kind of see him. I mean,
like
it's just in the dark. You see shadows. Mm. You see this crazy woman that tries to kill you, and then for whatever reason, they just don't go to a lit up place. They decide we're going to stay in a house where the electricity is wonky.
And
obviously, you just go to a place. You go to like Walmart with all the lights on, right?
No, she has the powers to turn the lights off,
or just buy a flashlight. It's dumb.
All right.
Quickly, let me end with this. This is the story that I teased about movies that the plots would be ruined by cell phones, the internet, technology today. They could never do these movies today.
Okay.
Because everything would be ruined. For example, 16 Candles. Did you ever see that movie?
Of course.
With Jake,
yeah,
Molly Ringwald.
Yes,
I mean,
100 years
ago. Farmer Ted, is that
yes.
the kid's
why,
name?
Yes.
Why would that be?
Thanks to Facebook notifications, the whole movie is based on her birthday. Everyone forgets 16th birthday, and she's...
Oh.
So, Facebook, it would have ruined that movie.
Okay. Pretty Duck Dong was in that.
I love that movie. It's a good movie.
Go on.
Pretty Woman, Edward... Richard Gere would never have gotten lost and ran into the hooker, Julia Roberts, because...
GPS.
Yes.
All right, go
Home,
on, next one.
Home Alone.
Oh, that one easy. You just text or call your parents.
Emma. Yeah, cell phones.
What if a kid doesn't have a phone? I don't know, kids have one.
That's why you could never do it now.
Mm-hmm. All right, go on.
And with airplane security, I don't think they're just going to, like, let anybody on. If you remember, there was a scene where they just...
I think that's Home Alone 2, isn't it?
Yeah, they just ran into each other with tickets, and then they just let everybody on.
Yeah.
My Cousin Vinny, the whole plot of the two kids.
Well,
that
two Utes.
Yes. Well, they wouldn't have been wrongly accused in that movie because there's security cameras everywhere. So every convenience store...
Oh, Dunk Town.
That's a stretch. All right.
I got one. Is Ferris Bueller on there?
I don't have all of them. I have eight.
Ferris Bueller, he goes out, everybody would spot him on their cell phones.
Social media.
Snapchat it, tweet it, and he would get caught.
Yeah, I got a few more. There you go. That's a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your shot to win a trip to our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas happens now on MMS.
Radio Station.
Organizations are trying to figure out what we should do with the Syrian refugees.
Where will they go?
Here? We're just trying to figure out why Jeffrey has skid marks in the front of his underpants.
It's none of your goddamn business.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
There's a study that came out that says that 1 in 8 Americans is now an alcoholic. 1 in 8. That would be, what is that in percent? Is that it? So it's a little more than 10%, 12, 13%, something like that. Even maybe 15
maybe.
People are shocked by that. Is that why? It doesn't seem. It seems about right to me. 10% of the population, roughly, might be alcoholic. Is that?
But what's the definition of an alcoholic?
That's another question. I'm wondering how they define alcoholic, because I have a feeling almost it's a pretty wide definition. I think if you ever read that, things you might have a problem with alcohol if. It's like every single one. You go, yes, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever got too drunk where you don't remember something?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had 5 drinks in one night?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you. That's what people do.
I know people that drink every single day. Every single day, they'll have a glass of wine.
Okay. Yeah. And
to me, that's an alcoholic.
One glass of wine every day? That's I don't think so.
See, I know people that drink hard every single day. Doing 10 to 12 beers every single day.
That's probably an alcoholic.
So yeah, if somebody has 2 glasses of wine every day, 7 days a week.
You said one first.
Okay. Yeah, it's 1 glass is what you told us.
2?
I don't know the amount.
Do you catch a buzz off of 2?
Well, I do.
Well, yeah, you might, but the normal person with dinner has a glass of wine. You can't say that's an alcoholic.
Every day, you're having wine. You're drinking 1 beer, 2 beers.
One glass, two beers.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
No, I disagree.
I think you have to get to a level where you're buzzed.
Right.
Every day.
One beer is not going to do that to you.
No. It's just you like the taste. Might take the edge off a little bit. My father does that every day. He has one beer.
Alcoholic.
Just one? Yeah. Well, days when it's really high, he's working on the lawn, the car. He might have two.
So Dieter's dad is an alcoholic,
dude. Yeah, you can't say that.
I totally think he is. My dad used to have a drink every single day. A couple of beers a night. That's an alcoholic.
Now you're turning into a couple beers.
So what's the limit? You guys are changing it. What's the limit?
I think I'm right. If you get a buzz every day from drinking, I think you're probably an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Drink, I mean, not even so drunk, you're just buzzed.
You're a bad example because you're lightweight with me.
Three beers would be...
Dieter...
Two or three.
Charlie does get very... He just doesn't eat.
Yeah.
He doesn't eat anything for whatever reason. And I don't like doing what he does. He just starts drinking on basically an empty stomach.
That's great.
Why is that great?
Saves money.
Saves money, saves calories. It's all around. You just have a better time. I don't like being all full. Like you like to eat
weird.
You like to eat a huge meal beforehand. I hate that.
That gives you the energy to keep it going all night long.
I get tired after I eat.
Yeah, right after I'm so full I can't even drink.
Yeah, I'm like this. I don't want to. I just want to go home right then.
I never have that issue. I like to get a good base going.
No, I agree with that. But
like a steak.
Yeah, that makes me just want to go home and go to bed at 8 p.m.
No. Steak is too much.
No, what?
That's too much.
No, that's the best base for a night out of drinking. Steak.
Baked potato.
Some potatoes.
Loaf of bread. I mean, how much food do you need? I mean,
yes. Well,
do you drink during the dinner when you're starting that base?
You have to.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. See, like, that's what I do. I start to drink during that dinner, get a little buzz, and I eat a bunch of food. Then right after, I'm so stuffed, it takes me a while to creep back that buzz.
Like, we did this in, now the cities are all running together.
On our last trip?
Yeah, Binghamton, I guess. So B2 and I went out to dinner, and I had a steak, and we had a bottle of champagne. And I was ready. Then we went to the bar after that. And I was in a good mood, feeling good when we hit that bar. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And I'm telling you, champagne is the drink of the future.
Oh, I can't let you order that. They bring out this thing. What's that silver cup with the ice called?
That's a big bowl.
It's a big silver cup with the ice.
They bring that out with the table with the tablecloth over the top. It's like a huge scene.
Yeah, he's got a tablecloth on his arm.
He like carries it through the restaurant, this big
cup. With a big sparkler in it, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then he places it down, and everybody's looking like, what's going on? What's the anniversary?
No one's looking at
it
like that.
I've heard the waiter say, what's this for? And you just go, I like to drink it. But everybody around's like, why is he drinking champagne?
What are they celebrating?
Right.
I'm celebrating life, damn it.
Right.
I'm telling you, is this such a tasty drink? It doesn't have to be real expensive.
I like, I love champagne. I do it for holidays, though. When my family comes in, we do mimosas. So I am a fan of champagne. I would never go to dinner and order it. I'll order wine. I would never.
Why not? See, this is what I'm saying.
I just don't.
Get rid of the stigma. Don't look down upon champagne drinkers.
I just think it's too hoity-toity.
Is there a cheaper champagne or is it always expensive? Because every time I see it,
Asti.
It's a lot of money.
You can get cheap champagne.
Well, I'm saying obviously you can go to a liquor
store. Everything in a restaurant is expensive. I mean,
it's like 50 to 100 bucks.
They probably have, they sell cheaper stuff. Yeah, they sell cheaper stuff. And they sell cheap stuff by the glass, too. So you can get a glass for $5-6.
I think it's pretentious when there's a champagne can.
I don't care what people. You think it's pretentious? I'll
snooty.
Kick you right in the face.
I just think...
How pretentious is that?
I don't like it.
Definitely
snooty.
It tastes
snooty.
Good. Everybody agrees it
in
tastes good.
In my home, I love drinking it. Yeah, I just would never go out and order it.
If they could do it without...
Like at a bar?
Without
could you
the
imagine?
Big cup. If they didn't have the big cup sitting
the
next
flute?
To you.
The flute?
No, the big thing that Dieter's talking about.
Bucket.
The ice bucket on a stand, and a guy like open it for you, and then he stands there, and you taste it, and you're like, oh, yes, this is good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they do with a bottle of wine, too. What's the difference?
Well,
they bring
like
a bottle of wine
I
out, they
glass.
Open that for you.
They leave the wine on the table. I don't like it when it's in that bucket.
Oh, that
the
keeps it
too
cold.
Much.
No, that's
it's a huge scene, though.
It's not a huge scene.
Oh, my God. You're going to dinner, and you're sitting next to somebody.
I'm not so concerned with what everyone else is looking at or thinking. I don't.
You guys are
crazy.
That's all you care about.
Yes.
No, that's
when you go out to dinner, all you do is judge everybody else.
Yes.
That's totally untrue.
That's what you say, that you and B2 make up. You sit around and look at people, and you wonder what they're up to.
We haven't been judging people as much lately.
Really?
No, we've just been so...
I thought that was your pastime.
Well, it was, but we haven't been going out to dinner very often either because I've been so busy. Two things. I've been so busy and this diet that I've been on
it doesn't really allow for a lot of, you know, you can go to a restaurant, but what are you going to have? I feel, it's weird. In a way, I almost feel guilty when I go into a restaurant and I order, like, no appetizer.
Oh, yeah, you're wasting their time.
You know, I have just one little tiny-ass thing. Because we've been going to restaurants and drinking no alcohol. I've gone to restaurants where I would leave that restaurant and I would have dropped, like, pre-diet, you drop... Jeffrey, you're killing me. Just stop that hovering for a second.
Turn the mic off.
Where you would drop, like, $100 on dinner with drinks and steaks or maybe even 150 or something. I swear to you, I went to a place... I think the last time I ate there was like $150. And this time it was $32.
Without the booze.
With no booze, no appetizers, just like no sides, just here, the entree, and, you know, B2 gets like a salad or something like that. It's $32. So now I feel, am I stupid? Because I feel really guilty now that they still have to serve you and you're still taking up that table for the same amount of time.
No, they just
so now instead
out.
Of tipping like 20, 25%, I normally tip about 25%. Now I'm tipping 35, 40%. Is that bad? Or am I stupid?
No. They know you say? Is that what they know when
you go? No, sometimes they don't. Sometimes okay. I'll go to we just ate at one of these places. I don't even remember. We ate at a place in Williamsport, and it was... I got the bill and I go, oh my God, I cannot. When you're not drinking, it's a totally mm-hmm. different ballgame. You would not believe how cheap going to dinner is for two people. I get this and it's like $35. We're at a nice restaurant, $35. And we even had an appetizer there and it's $35. I go, what am I going to? So I think I tip like $15.
Snitz, do you have a drink every day? Because the survey says, what, 1 in 8 are alcoholics? If there are, how many people work on our show? 7?
Mm-hmm.
3.
So someone on the show is an alcoholic. Who?
I think
statistically.
3.
Mads, Charlie, Dieter, all alcoholics?
I'm a binge drinker, so on the weekends I'll have definitely more than recommended. Dieter, what do you do? Didn't you say you drink a 6-pack after work?
I don't know about after work. Before I go out, when I pre-drink, I probably try to kill a 6-pack.
But you're drinking during the week, too, right?
You drank last night, right? Football?
You always talked about your dad.
I had one last night to celebrate the preseason.
One case?
Kickoff? No.
What even happened with that? I mean, who pays attention to the preseason stuff? But
they look fantastic.
That's what you always say every year. Oh, they look great. Oh, fantastic.
But you can't tell to the first game, I always say.
Because
there's
all these dudes that you've never heard of before that aren't even going to be on the team.
What'd you think of Brock Osweiler?
Well, he didn't do that great. But again, it's the first game. There's got to be chemistry. I mean,
yeah. How many games are the Browns going to win this season, Dieter?
Oh, probably 8-8. Oh God! I'm telling you, every year teams could turn it around.
It'd be 8-8 if they played area high schools.
That's even pushing it.
Even that's high, Rover.
Snitz, do you have a drink at night when you go home?
Do I? No, not really.
Do you ever?
Snitz did not drink. You have to remember What do you mean that?
That's exaggerated, but.
That's a lie.
No, it's
when
not a lie. I exaggerated
on this show.
Yeah, I exaggerated.
What
do you mean you exaggerated?
About the length of time. I've already talked about that.
Oh, you lied then.
Well, I lied. Sure.
You never talked to us about this. When he started working on the show, and we took him down to Florida,
Orlando,
6 years ago or something, five, whatever long it's been, he got drunk, and that was the first time that he'd been drunk in, what, like 20 years?
20 years. Ever since his kids were born. They just
drunk, yes. But I drank, yes.
Oh, well, you made us, because we kept asking.
I know, you guys, you know how you guys are? You stretch things and exaggerate stuff.
You're the one that told us this.
Yeah, it's maybe to get you guys to shut up about it. No, it's I don't drink that much. My stepdad drank he drank like a 6-pack a day.
Oh.
He was an alcoholic. I had collected the plastic rings, whatever.
Yeah.
The pop tops?
Yeah. No. The rings that they came in, the 6-packs came in.
Oh.
The dolphin killers.
Save the dolphins.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I was a little kid then.
I cut them all open before I threw
them away. Yeah, that's exactly what I sound like. Anyway, so I had a craft book and I made a hammock out of them.
No.
Yeah. I had beer cans in my bedroom because I saved them. I don't know why you let me save them, but I made pyramids, like, went up the side of my both my walls in my bedroom.
Your friends thought you were sweet, though, right? They're like, oh, that's cool.
You drank all those, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know what they thought, but...
Was he mean because he drank?
No, he's a really super nice guy, but, you know.
What happened to him? He was your first stepdad. What happened to this guy?
Well, I mean, they got divorced, I guess. He had my sister, which is my half-sister, I guess, with my mom, and he took them away.
Half-sister? So he left?
Well, my mom actually left first. I lived with them for a little bit, and then he kind of just split.
So wait a sec. So it's like going to the dentist and pulling teeth when you get stories out of snits. He's never really free-flowing with his information.
I don't want to get all emotional on the freaking radio all the time.
It's okay.
No, it's like...
But wait a second. You said your mother left and you lived with this stepdad, so did your mother leave you?
No. She lived in the same city. She just left him.
Uh-huh.
But she couldn't really afford to take care of me at the time by herself.
How old are you?
Seven or eight, I was going to say.
So then you lived with this stepfather for a while.
Yeah, for like a year and a half, something like that. And then he took my, one day he said, hey, pack up your stuff. We're going to go to Grandpa's house, which is in St. Louis. I said, okay. So I just got a box of stuff, like for, you know, clothes and whatever for that day. I didn't know, like for the weekend, whatever. He went there and then he took off. So he left me there.
With grandpa, with your grandfather.
Yeah, and then...
Is it your mother's dad?
No, it's his.
Oh, his.
He couldn't take me across the state borders because he didn't have custody of me. That's basically why he left me there. So he took my sister and they split.
Wow.
Did your mom come get you? This is
an insane story. So then your mom came and got you when? Like that weekend or...
Yeah, then a couple days later. Because she had to drive across from Kansas City to St. Louis, so... But yeah, that was great. And the first time I saw her in a couple years, whatever it was. And they had he had a girlfriend that at the time. And I thought my mom like totally I'm gonna get really emotional. It's like, sorry. Hold on. I hate doing this stuff. It's so stupid.
Snitz is composing himself.
It's okay. Give him a second.
He cut the camera away from him.
I need an override.
Stay on, man. Stay on.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
You wouldn't do this to anyone else, Snitz.
No, I'd close up.
Okay, no, like close to zoom right, you in. Zoom in right now on Jeffrey's face.
Right.
Yeah. No, I thought my mom had like not cared about me and stuff. But I had found a whole bunch of letters that she wrote me. And
recently, you're saying?
No, that time when we went back to get my stuff from my apartment or my house when my dad had left, and I saw the letter she wrote me, birthday stuff. And
Your stepdad didn't give those to you?
No.
Why not?
Because him and his girlfriend were jerks.
Oh, my God.
That still doesn't even make sense, though. I mean...
People are mean.
Why?
People are mean.
I don't understand that. Why would they not give those to you, Snitz?
Well, his girlfriend was super, super mean. She hated me.
Because you were someone else's kid, basically. His ex's kid. And so you found those, and was your mother with you when you found those?
Yeah.
And what did you do? Did you break down crying right then? You had no idea. You thought your mother had abandoned you for 2 years, and then...
Oh, yeah, man. When I first saw her in the driveway, we hugged for like 20 minutes. It was just...
You cry then?
Of course. Obviously.
He's crying all the time. Right now, 30 years later.
I cry all the time.
Well, Snitch, she probably thought you didn't love her because you didn't know you got him and you didn't react to those.
Did she know you were leaving?
What do you mean?
Did she know that he was taking you across state lines and not bringing you back?
He didn't.
I have no idea.
He just left him at the grandfather's house.
But your mom was... If I mail a letter and I get no reaction, if I mail a letter to my son...
Yeah, did she ever say, how come you didn't write me back, or...
I don't know. No, I mean, I...
You didn't know.
I don't know. I mean, to me, to my face right then, maybe. We kind of figured it all out when I found the letters. Like, oh, well, I've been sheltered, whatever, from all that.
So they just... When you find these letters, you go back to this house where you were living with your stepfather. So he just leaves, and he leaves this house behind with everything in it?
Yeah. Well, it was like an apartment. He was a hotel manager, so we lived place to place. We lived in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So, it sounds like he moved abruptly. Was there a reason why he...
Yeah, he was chasing his... Well, okay, go back. The reason he did leave the original when we packed up and left is because his girlfriend had left to California. And it was like a month or so before that. So basically, he was chasing her.
So he wanted to go move or run after this girlfriend.
Yeah.
Did he take your sister?
And he couldn't take you. Yeah. Now, did he love you? Did he like you?
Yeah. I mean, I thought we got along pretty well.
And everything was relatively normal while you were living with him for a year and a half or 2 years when you were 8 years old?
Yeah, pretty cool. It was me, my sister, him.
And then, so you didn't see this coming at all?
No, not at all.
And, I mean, this is a wild story, isn't it, Teeter?
Oh, yeah.
Teeter's laughing.
It's not funny.
No, I'm sorry.
It's why he's so...
Elsie Snitz cry every day. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me? Snitz is, like, super emotional.
Yes. Maybe on the aftermath, I don't talk to him that much. It's just to see a grown man cry.
I think it's part of his daily routine. Like, he gets home from work, he takes his shoes off, he cries.
Has a good cry.
Yeah.
Do you cry every time you think about your son in the Navy?
No. I mean, I did. What's really I keep on forgetting there's a dildo behind me. I'm sorry, everybody. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah, there is.
Oh, you dummy.
So that's pretty funny. No, I did at first. Yeah, a lot. I mean, I think I told you before when we were folding his clothes that he left behind. My wife and I just bawled because we just looking at his clothes that he left.
Right.
But now, no, we're used to it.
He's a grown man now.
Yeah. And we're super proud of him.
How old is he?
He's 24 next month.
Yeah. Let me take a break. We'll delve back into Snitzer's life. All right, Dougie, go hug Snitz. There you go. Snitz, shower after this. All right, I'm going to take a break. If you're listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m., you can continue listening or watching live at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app or the Rover Radio Apple TV app. For everyone else, we will be right back after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your next shot to win a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival comes at 11:30 on 100.7 WMS. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
All right, it's time for more Rover's Morning Glory on Cleveland's Rock Station, 100.7 WMMS.
Secrets of highly intelligent people. They listen to Rover's Morning Glory.
That's six.
I know it's six. Just listen to the damn show already, okay? Come on.
Anonymous, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Anonymous.
Morning.
Hey.
Wah, Snitz, you whiny little bitch. Wah, my daddy left me. You know how many kids in this country don't even know who their fathers are? You pussy.
Wow.
Jeez. Wow. All right.
Sound pretty tough. Sound pretty cool.
All right. Thank you, Anonymous. It's got to be Anonymous.
Yeah, use your real name. You're calling Snitz a baby when you won't even use your name? That's rude. Don't listen to him, Snitz.
Snitz had a traumatic childhood, didn't he?
Yes.
I think we only know about 2% of Snitz's childhood. I'll bet you there's some crazy stuff.
I think that's why he's such a good husband and father now, because he doesn't want to have what happened to him occur.
Probably has feelings of abandonment. I mean, it's got all sorts of issues.
But he's not a commitment phobic type personality.
Right.
He's devoted. He's loving. He's emotional. He's sharing. He really is perfect.
Well, how do you know? You're not in a relationship with him.
But I
see a lot of baggage there, I think, with those issues.
And he's a lot of rage, too.
You know how many boxes of Kleenex they go through? I do it for the cranking out. They do it for the crying at his house.
Who saw Snitz when you guys came back from the bus? Who witnessed the running of love?
The embrace back?
Yes. Oh, did they do that? I wasn't with everyone when we got back on the bus. They
We took the bus to get serviced, so I didn't see any of this stuff. What transpired, Charlie?
Well, he had begged me for a ride home, so I had to drive him home from the radio station after that.
His wife didn't come pick him
no,
up?
No, she couldn't be bothered. No. No, I'm kidding. I think his daughter had driving class or something, so the car was being used, so I took him home.
So you didn't get to witness any embrace or makeout session?
Yeah. It's like a romantic movie.
Would you say, how long do they make out?
Oh, it's right in the hood of their car. They're really going at it. It's hot and heavy, man.
For like that White Snake video.
20 seconds?
A White Snake.
I remember one time, I swear to God, I think I got in my car and left.
Drove away, and they're still making out?
Yes.
Wow. Whatever happened to this stepdad of yours that abandoned you, Snitz? Did you ever talk to him again?
Him? No. I talked to my sister. It was like 20-something years later.
Your
finally saw her
sister,
again.
Yeah. And was she older? She was younger than you or what?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the oldest.
How old was she when stepdad took off?
She was a baby. Yeah, she was a baby. That was the last time I saw her. And I didn't see her again until she was like 30.
Yeah, that's kind of awkward. Like, hey, she doesn't know who you are, really, probably, right?
Yeah, we're like, she named her kid after me now. It's like, she's
really?
It's awesome. We have a great relationship. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, I love my sister.
Aw.
Huh. It's like Jeffrey had a secret sister that, you lose contact with. So then did you live with your mother after that, Snitz? When she came and got you, did you live with her then?
Yep. And then, together forever until she passed, yep.
When you said that your stepdad's girlfriend was mean, what do you mean? What was she doing?
Well, I mean, she hit me and stuff.
Really?
And, yeah, she's really bad.
Did your stepdad know about that?
I don't know. I mean, I never really talked to him about it because, I don't know.
Was it a belt? Was it a smack?
No, like smacks and stuff. Like, asked if I'd, because I used to, like I said before, I used to talk a lot in I know it's really weird.
Yeah, he doesn't talk at all.
She
smacked it out of you.
Yeah, her and that teacher, the other teacher with the paddle, yeah.
Smack that talk right out of you, boy.
It's all gone. I don't talk anymore. No, but yeah, she'd ask if I, if I talked in class, and I'd say yes, and she'd, hit me.
She'd whack you.
Yeah.
God, that infuriates.
Now he works on a talk show, isn't that weird?
I know. Just drives me bonkers.
And, so she ever do that around your stepdad? Was he ever witnessed to
No,
this?
I think he was probably working during the day because it was like early, like right after school and stuff.
Yeah.
But so yeah.
That was the meanest stuff that she would do to you?
Yeah, just that.
Yeah.
And then probably, I don't remember, but I know she didn't like me, so she probably said mean things to me. I don't remember that stuff.
Was there any sexual abuse?
Oh, God, no. Mm-mm.
What, I mean, would he even tell us if there was?
That's what I'm asking. Or if he blocked that out completely.
No, they were like that.
But she smacked you and then dropped you off in St. Louis. I mean.
Well, he did. He dropped me off.
She was gone to California.
Yeah, she had already left.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying these parents are showing signs of abuse.
So she left your stepdad. This girlfriend left your stepdad. And the stepdad was like, I have to make a choice. So I can either. It might have been over Snitz, too. Like, the girlfriend might have been like, if you either get rid of this kid or I'm out of here, and he doesn't get rid of the kid, and then she leaves, goes to California, and then the guy's like, 30 days later, he's like, I need that poon back, and goes chasing after her.
Yeah.
And drops Snitz off on the way. See you, kid.
I think they're still together.
Are they really?
Yeah.
He's still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
You talked to him or no?
No, I've never talked to him.
On the Friday leftovers today.
Yeah.
Snitz's stepdad.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
Now, then you say you've never talked to him ever since he dropped you off.
Yeah, no.
I wonder, does he know how, you would think he would, does he know how upsetting that was to you?
Probably. I think he might have talked through my sister. To me, when I first saw my sister, we had a lot to catch up on, obviously.
Right. 30 years.
Yeah, I think he might have apologized through that, but...
Wait, to this day, you've never talked to him, Snitz?
No, I mean, it's just...
F
no.
that guy.
It's 40 years ago.
You were 8?
Yeah, like 8 or 10.
Wow, we have to get him
no,
on
F
the
show. That guy.
He's still alive. We have to get him here.
Where do they live, Snitz?
California.
Mm. Man, oh man.
We have a bus.
Oh. Yeah. Snitch, what if on our next trip, we take a trip to California and we reunite you with the stepfather who abandoned you?
No, I mean, that's all right.
You're not interested in hearing any explanation at all?
No.
Were you interested in talking to your father?
I wasn't.
Okay.
But I didn't know him.
He didn't ever know you.
Yeah, I didn't know him. I wasn't abandoned at the age of 8 by him.
Who would you rather meet, Spencer, your real dad or the stepdad?
Well, I've already met my stepdad.
No, I mean, if you could talk to one of them again.
I don't know. Probably my real dad, I guess.
And where is he at?
Florida, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know. He moves around a lot.
But you still talk to him?
No, I've never talked to him since I was 3.
Oh, jeez.
One time he called and talked to, I don't know.
Yeah, when I was like 16.
Half-brother or something, or whoever it was, and his dad was there, and Snitch is like, does Dad want to talk to me? And Dad's like, no, he doesn't want to talk to you.
Oh, that would piss me off. Of course. That would mess you up.
Do you think that, I know this is going to sound crazy, but is it possible, don't take this the wrong way, Snitch, is it possible that Snitch was such a bad child that they couldn't, these adults couldn't take him?
Like the problem child from Problem Child?
Right.
Just constantly.
The father out, the mother out, yeah. The stepdad out, the girlfriend out. Everyone just had to get away from Snitch.
And he had to change his ways and become likable.
Mm-hmm. He probably talked everyone's ear. He was like Jeffrey. He was Jeffrey as a child, just talked nonstop about anything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not possible.
Were you a good kid or a bad kid, Snitz?
I know I was a bad teenager, so.
Well, that doesn't
probably
doesn't
and that surprise everybody me. Is, yeah.
But that came after all this, right?
Oh, yeah.
You think that caused a lot of issues? That's why you were a bad teenager?
I don't know. Maybe.
What was the worst thing you did as a teenager?
Oh, like breaking and entering and that kind of stuff.
Where did you break and enter? Like in someone's house?
Yeah, apartments.
And what did you do in there? You stole stuff?
Stole stuff, yeah.
For what? What purpose? Just for money? Drugs?
No, for drugs, no.
We?
No, just for kicks, I guess. Yeah.
Just for the thrill of it?
Yeah, me and my friends, I guess.
All right, so give me, how many times did you do this?
Just a couple. Maybe 3 times that I remember.
Tell me about the last time. Oh, you did?
The
popo guy.
Got arrested, yeah.
Tell me about the first time you did it. How did this go down? Whose idea was it? Where do you guys go? Is it 2:00 in the morning? Walk me through your first cat burglary.
That was probably at, I was about 13 or 14, probably 13, lived in these apartments, and this girl and her dad lived across the way, and we had heard that he had pot. So it was like, well, let's go over there. Let's get some. I don't know why. I guess we could.
Did you smoke pot at the age of 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
Hopefully his kids aren't listening to this.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah, so we went over there, and dude, he had a lot. He must have been a dealer because he had a lot of pot. It was a hefty bag full of Ziploc bags.
Wow. So just like pounds and pounds of marijuana.
Yeah. So like me and my friends, we all took like a Ziploc bag, like those giant quart ones, whatever.
Right.
We just took one.
Oh, well, doesn't he know?
That lasts for a long time, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a dealer, you know how much you have.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, so he must have known that someone, was this in the middle of the night?
No, it's the middle of the day.
Okay. How'd you get in?
I don't remember.
Through a window?
That, I don't remember. I think those apartments are, like, really loosey-goosey with the...
Yeah.
Didn't you once break into your friend's house and steal all of his mom's dildos?
Have a fight with him?
What?
Anything
no.
like that? Or
no.
Were you selling your mom's dildos?
No, somebody broke into my house.
And did what?
Stole the dildos?
And grabbed my mom's dildo, yeah.
And you guys were having like a sword fight with him?
No, he went to the roller skating rink and showed it to everybody. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's traumatic.
That was horrible.
Did he smuggle it into the roller ring?
Yeah, he brought it in, yeah.
Like United States of America, that place?
It was Roller Palace in Mayfield. So.
Did you take it from him and put him in your pocket?
Yeah. Like,
no, I got it back, and returned it, yes.
Like, what did you do? Was it a fight to get it back? Did you guys have to wrestle for the dildo?
No, maybe a little bit. No, it wasn't like crazy. He was, I just grabbed it.
Did you keister it so no one saw?
Oh, yeah.
No, I just ran out. I live right across the street from the place, so.
Did you run out, or did you have to
skate ran.
Out?
With it above your head? Like, with a baton?
Yes.
Did you you return it before your mom ever knew it was missing?
Yes. I don't know if she ever... I don't know if I put it in the right spot or what.
How does he even find your mom's dildo? Is he going through drawers or...
Oh, they went through the whole house. My house was destroyed. Yeah, it was...
Sweet. So is that the only thing they took?
Yeah, no, they took all my silverware and they bent our silverware. It was like...
These were friends or enemies of yours?
I guess you'd call them friends. Yeah, I don't know.
And Snitz, how does he announce it when he has it at the rink?
This is Mrs. Snitzer's dildo, everyone. Yeah.
What does he say? What's the buildup?
Well, I got in late. I got it when he was like just showing it to people. So I don't know how he showed it. You know, how many people have showed it to, before that?
How did you know it was your mom's?
Well, that's a good question. Well,
I live with my mom.
So you've seen it?
No, he was saying it was.
Oh, okay.
Could have been anybody's.
What if it wasn't your mom's and he was just saying that, and then you take this dildo back, you put it in your mom's nightstand?
Yeah, and she never had a dildo.
She's like, what is this? It's a gift for my son.
She's like, oh, man, Snitz, he's quiet, but I didn't know he was like that.
Hey, mom, here's your dildo.
Yeah, I know you're single, mom. Here you go.
Huh. So you broke and entered. So you get this marijuana. Did they find out? Did the pot dealer find out that you broke in?
They never found it was us because I'm sure they would kill us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had a lot. So I'm sure he was like some sort of dealer. And he was a big, huge dude, too.
Yeah. So, all right. So your second breaking and entering. Let's just go through your rap sheet here. What was your second B&E?
I don't remember the second one. I mean, the only other one I remember is getting caught.
So tell us about that night.
That was a daytime thing also.
Okay, all right. That's first problem, I think. I think
that's how we got caught.
We'll do it at night, right?
We're okay. Stupid, yeah. Yeah, we skipped school, went to a friend's house. That's whose house we broke into. Went in there, and I stole his, remember his disc man? His disc cameras? Those
disc
flat ones?
Cameras.
It was like a flat camera.
Flat
camera. Kodak disc? I don't know. Anyway. So it was a really popular item at the time, and I took it. I thought it was awesome. We ate a lot of his food. That was a big deal. And then the mailman is the one who saw us climbing in the window.
Ah.
So he's the one to turn us in.
Now.
Do the cops come while you're in there?
Wait a second. Hold on. Why burgle your friend? Why not? I mean, why do that to someone you know?
I use these terms friends as loosely. It's like probably just
acquaintance.
People that we all hung out together. Okay. Maybe we didn't like that kid.
All right.
I don't know.
So then, are you inside the house when the cops come?
No, it was later. It was later in the afternoon. They had come through our apartments. It was another apartment thing. And, just rounded us up.
Now, do you see them, like the cops, when they pull into the into the apartment complex and stuff? Are you like, uh-oh?
Well, we're all outside because my mom was not home yet. So we got just taken in the car to the station.
How do they know that it was you?
I guess I was dumb enough maybe to say I was with them.
When you're a kid, you're really stupid. The cops go, they pick you up, and then they tell you that the friends had already ratted you out, and you're like, no, it was Billy that did all, and then they got you, so they know that you were,
Yes.
Did they find the camera?
No, I had that for a long time.
It was weird. It's just pictures of his mom's dildo on the disc. It was weird. So they pick you up. They put you in handcuffs. They take you down.
I don't think I had handcuffs.
No?
No, I think they just put us in the back of the car and took us down to the local...
Jail?
Police station. And we just sat out in the lobby, basically.
So they never put you in a cell or anything?
No.
Call your mom?
Yeah, call everybody's parents.
What did your mom do when she...
Oh, she's super mad. So...
How'd she punish you?
Slapped him around with the dildo?
Maybe a grounding. It's probably a grounding.
So you get grounded.
But I never did that again.
All right. That's good. Snitz was hanging out with a bad crowd, it sounds like.
Ruffians.
Yeah. Yeah. Little hellions. Well, when you're a single mother, here's the problem. I had a single mother. They really can't do much to you. I mean, how old were you at this point? 13, 14?
About that.
Like, you're big enough to, physically they can't do anything to you. Your mother. And they just don't carry the same weight. And I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about, I was never scared of my mother, ever. And so you could get away with a lot of that crap. I never had to worry about a dad coming home and, like Dater did, who was going to be pissed and beat my ass. I probably would have been a much better kid.
Oh, yeah, I would dread 5 o'clock
My dad come home at 5 o'clock. To this day, I see 5 o'clock. I'm like, oh, dad's coming home.
You live on your own. Now.
Still, the nightmare is up 5 o'clock because my mom, she couldn't do anything. She'd be like, your dad's coming home at 5 o'clock. Wait till I tell him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then it gets to 2 o'clock, then 3 o'clock. You're like, oh, God, it's getting closer to 5 o'clock. He's going to beat my ass.
Start sweating.
And he was storming through that door like a freaking freight train.
So he was already alerted. Like, your mom must have, this is even before his cell phones, she must have called him at work.
Right.
Didn't he work in a factory or something?
Yeah, still does. So she paged him on the factory overhead, I guess. So he has to come.
Mr. Dieter, please come to the.
Exactly.
You have a phone call from home. So your dad, I don't know your dad. I don't even think I've ever met Dieter's dad. No. Who knows if the guy even exists, but.
We've never seen him.
Never seen him.
He abandoned me at 8. Yeah. Went to California. No, so he used to leave his sweat.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that wants to get a personal phone call like, at work.
Like at the factory or whatever and have to shut it down.
Right, because when he stops. Everybody else probably has to stop. Probably slows down everybody else's work.
Yeah.
You know, he's an electrician. So, yeah, then he has to go and deal with this. My mother saying how bad I am.
So she'll call up and say, whatever.
Right.
And then he's just probably thinking there for 3 or 4 hours what he's going to do to you when he gets home.
Right. Just steaming. And kind of like when you have a girl come over, like 3 hours later, you're thinking all the things you're going to do to this hot chick, right? Right. Like going over in your mind. He's doing the same thing, but of torture of what he's going to do to me at 5 o'clock, 5:01.
They have those clocks, you know? You ever walk into like an outdoor store and they have the clock that has fives in every number position? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Jimmy Buffett, buy that clock for you. And
anxiety. Hang that up like PTSD. You're like the fourth member of this show to have PTSD. So what would your dad have done, Dieter, if you
broke into?
If you were busted for B&E, breaking and entering?
We used to do the same thing, but we never got caught. We would leave a window open. Oh, this really was my friend's place. When they would leave, we'd leave the window open. We'd sneak in, and his dad in the attic had Playboys. So we would always sneak back in.
But he was with you, right?
So usually, that doesn't count.
So it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, you weren't going in there to steal stuff. Like
we're
Stitch
looking at Playboys, right? So,
what do you think he would have done? Just hypothetically, think belt, of that scenario.
The belt wouldn't have been enough. So I mean, probably.
You're 13, 14 years old. The cops come. They take you out of your house. They take you down to the police station.
Oh, God.
Your mom calls your dad and says, I don't know what your dad's first name is, but let's say it's Frank. It says, Frank, your son was arrested for breaking and entering. He was burglaring the house down the street. What do you think your dad would do? You're still at the police station. What would happen?
He'd probably say, don't let me take this kid home. He'd probably tell the cops just keep him there, because if he took me home, he'd probably strap me in a chair and take a hot iron and just place it on me.
Really? I mean,
stop it. Yes, burned you?
Has he ever done that before?
No. But that's, to be called to the station, that's the worst thing a parent can have to do. It's embarrassing for them.
So, Snitz's mom, probably when he gets busted for B&E, she would do what my mom does. Like, my mom would start crying and be like, I'm so disappointed in you. And I'd be like,
it's all my fault.
I'd have the same thing. I'd have the whole spiel, just like Nads has with, with the drugs. You know, oh, I turned a new leaf. Now I see, the whole.
She's got it down.
The whole, I had that as a 14-year-old of everything to tell my mom to make her believe that I, saw the light. Then you're back to the same shenanigans a week later.
She'd come home and cook you dinner?
Yes.
But Snitzer already ate dinner at someone else's house.
That's right. And took pictures of it.
Oh, yeah, here's our camera. This is what it looked like.
Oh, wow. Remember that. Do you remember that?
What the hell is that?
That's the negative right there. That's the film.
Would you get it developed or just look at it through one of those little things?
No, you get it developed.
ViewMaster? No.
It's
the old Kodak disc camera.
Sort of.
It is?
I had one of those when I was a teenager.
Tell? You should have told us what that was, Snitz. Jeez. Kodak disc camera. Why didn't you just say? I don't remember those, but those were probably a novelty because like a regular thing of film is thick, so this was super thin.
And that was the appeal. Like, oh, they probably had commercials where someone's putting it in their back jeans, their Jordache jeans pocket. Look how tiny the Kodak disc camera is.
You know what's coming back is my girlfriend used it when we were at the water park. I'm going to buy one for G for Christmas. It's, what is it, where the film comes out? Is it a
Polaroid?
Polaroids.
Those are coming back.
Yes, I'm telling
My brother just got one, no, but it's not a Polaroid. It's some other kind. Yeah,
those like come in for like a week. No one's gonna. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Oh, I'm gonna buy one.
You're gonna cart. It's dumb. You're gonna cart that thing around. Camera. Yeah, okay. And what are you gonna do? You're gonna run out of films. You're gonna take a million pictures. It's a pain in the ass.
No, it's really cool. I swear to God, it's really cool. She just kind of took a picture, and I have it right there. Picture didn't turn out very well, but. I like it.
Let's see here. You know what? I'm running behind.
Okay.
Took a while to go through Snitz's history of... So that was the worst thing you did as a teenager? B&E?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
That you got caught doing? Anything you did that you didn't get caught?
Like bad stuff like that?
Yeah.
No, I mean, girl stuff, but not... You know,
what do you mean, girls? Stuff?
Aggressive to girls?
No. I had a lot of girlfriends. That's not bad, but I wish I could take all that back. But you know,
why do you wish you could take all of that back?
Well, because I don't know. It's just all, I don't know.
But because of that, it got you to where you are.
Snitzing. I love my wife so much. I wish I had saved my virginity for
her. No,
we could be each other's only.
No,
I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, sure.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, all the rest of the girls that I've been with, it's just, I could do without.
Wait, if you could take back every sexual experience that you haven't had with your wife, would you?
Yes.
What?
Seriously?
Sounds stupid, whatever.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean,
some of it was pretty good, but no, I mean, I was just like, I was a little kid.
Well, think about this. You wouldn't have known what to do with your wife if you didn't have that experience.
And then if you
prior.
Were bad in bed, right, she would have been like,
she would have gone, oh, this guy, Anthony.
Stinks.
Yeah.
Do you feel guilt you had sex with other people other than your wife?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
No.
That's crazy.
Anthony, you need therapy. Why would you feel guilty?
I don't know.
Like, you didn't even know her at the time, right?
No, I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, I just don't want to think about that other stuff. I just want to...
You never think about it?
It's cheating on our...
You never, when you're secretly pranking
you're like masturbating again.
So, who was the best you had besides your wife? What was the best experience you had? Did you have anything crazy? You have like a orgy, a threesome? You have anything like that?
No, I mean, nothing ridiculous, no.
But you had some wild nights.
I mean, I was a little kid, so how wild could it really be?
Well, when you say a little kid, what age are we talking age? About?
I think I was 14 when I first started, so I was, you're a little kid.
Who took your virginity?
My best friend.
What's his name?
I think we I think we talked about this. Yeah, she's a lesbian now. I think we talked about that.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
She went over to the other side.
Snitz turned her.
I'm so good, yeah.
Yeah. No wonder Snitz and Charlie get along so well. Lesbians love Snitz. How old is she? Same age?
Yeah.
All right. So she took your virginity. How many girls do you think you were with? I mean, you're making it sound like you were with hundreds.
No. I mean, double digits, but nothing crazy.
Well, double digits anywhere from 10 to 99.
Oh. Yeah, no. Nothing like that.
Less than 20?
Less than 20, yeah.
Okay. All right, less than 20.
And what time frame? In the age of 14, right, that year?
Yeah, 14 to 8. I met my wife at 18, so.
Oh, my okay. gosh. So four years. He's doing five chicks. Yeah, he was prolific there for a while.
He peaked early. Most people starting around, 18, 17.
Yeah, they're awkward and they can't get any action in those early years. Huh. What about your wife? Do you have any idea how many sexual partners your wife has had?
Yeah, probably about the same. We've talked about it.
Yeah. Did you lie to her? Did you, like, minimize it when you first met your wife? Tell her, I mean, were you honest up front?
Yeah, no. No, I wasn't honest about it till later.
How do you break that to her?
I don't know how it came up. I think we're both talking about it, about previous boyfriends and girlfriends for some reason.
And you kept you'd always have, like, a conversation about it, ex-girlfriends. You'd be like, wait a second, I thought you only had sex with two people.
Yeah.
And he's mentioned, like, 800 ex-girlfriends.
Probably something like that, yeah.
Jay, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jay.
Yeah, how's it going? Yo, hey. Rover, yo, Jeter, go Reds.
Yep.
I just wanted to tell Snitch he's a pussy because why would you want to get rid of any sexual experience you've ever had? Like, who does that? But, yeah, so have a great day, guys.
All right, thank you, Jay.
Yeah, it's cool. Guy calling in from his mom's basement. That's good. Keep cranking it, dude.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap everything up. We have the Friday Leftovers today. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Friday Leftovers on RMG Plus. All of us continue on RMG Plus. If you're not a subscriber, you can sign up now at roverradio.com. And you can watch or listen live to the Aftermath either there on the website, the phone app, the Apple TV app. But the only place you can sign up for RMG Plus is at roverradio.com. You can't do it through any of the other apps or anything. You just have to sign up there at roverradio.com. We will be right back and wrap everything up after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your next shot to win a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival comes at 11:30 on 100.7 WMMS
radio station.
Fueled mainly by money and the misery of others. She is Doogie. This is Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, we'll tell you what's coming up on the Aftermath, on the Friday Leftovers in just a moment. But first, caller 30 right now, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. I'll give you a pair of tickets to see Rise Against, along with Pierce the Veil and White Lung, Friday, September 29th at Jacobs Pavilion at Nautica. The tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. And Mark from the Gentlemen's Club is going to be at JD Oxford's in Rochester tonight from 8 to 10 p.m. Play Brewbag to win tickets to see Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus on, next weekend, the 18th. At Frontier Field, they have Red Wings tickets and concert tickets and all sorts of stuff. So go out there tonight to JD Oxford's with 94.1 The Zone in Rochester. Good luck to you on the Rise Against tickets.
Well, Robert, real quick, I'm going to be at Metro PCS tomorrow in Elyria, 641 South Abbey Road, from 1 to 3. I'm going to be giving away school supplies with my best friend, UFC heavyweight champion, Stipe Miocic.
And still.
Huh?
That's what they say, and still.
Yeah, I know that. I was just asking if you knew. Stipe Miocic. at Metro PCS, 1 to 3 tomorrow in Elyria, 641 South Abbey Road. We'll have free school supplies for everybody, so stop by.
Free school supplies?
Like what, pencils?
Well, supplies,
paper?
Glass. You know, book bag filled with notebook, folders, paper, crayons, ruler, pencil box, and much more.
All right.
All supplies last.
You just have to arm wrestle Stipe in order to get one.
Or take a punch by him. Right?
Yeah.
Ask him what he thinks of the Mayweather fight.
I'll get the inside
scoop.
Yeah,
McGregor. Yeah.
Mayweather's going to win that fight. The last time I had people talking to me about that. Mayweather's going to win this fight.
He came out and said, well, I'm not the same fighter. I'm a little bit slower. I don't know if he's just trying to hype it up so McGregor has a bigger chance. But he's saying he's not the same guy.
Is McGregor? What is he? Is he heavyweight UFC? What is he?
No, he's not heavyweight.
Both these guys are probably like, what, about 155?
165. Featherweight? What are we talking? What is the weight class? Do you guys not know? You don't know the
middleweight.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
It's lighter. It's not heavyweight.
Yeah.
It's not light heavyweight, but I think McGregor still has a chance.
I thought they had like footage from a month ago of him practicing, and everybody went, ooh, that's not good.
But they just came out of
the sparring partners are like, yeah, I was kicking this dude's ass in my sparring.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Paul Maggiani?
He knocked out the sparring partner.
But there was a picture of him being knocked down in the sparring partner disputes it. He said he got pushed down, and then he came to Connor afterwards and said, please don't post any pictures that make me look bad. And Connor just laughed at him and then posted all these pictures. So now he's going on all these interviews, the sparring partner, saying that Connor's going to get his ass kicked and that he's an a-hole.
Yeah, maybe that's all part of Connor's strategy. Maybe they're all in cahoots, though. This could be to throw Mayweather off. I would be shocked if Mayweather loses that fight. Absolutely stunned. You're talking about a guy, McGregor, who's a good UFC fighter, but not a boxer.
And there's
he's probably a good fighter. Don't get me wrong.
He's a great fighter.
Okay, and probably could be a pretty good boxer. But he's fighting one of, if not the best boxers of the past 100 years.
Nobody that actually boxes can beat Mayweather, right?
That's right.
Yeah, but
Mayweather is beating people that are professional boxers.
So, yeah.
In fact, he's 49-0.
The guy's coming into a different sport and then expecting to win? No.
Yeah. But he's still a striker, and if Mayweather goes toe-to-toe, which he said he's going to do, usually he doesn't go toe-to-toe, Robert,
right? I don't care what he says. He's not going to do it. You know what he's going to do?
McGregor has a fighting chance. I'm going to say that.
Dieter, you're stupid. Do you want to know what he's going to do? He's going to win the fight. You know how he's going to win the fight?
Dancing around and BS and all that crap?
However it takes to win the fight.
He says he's going to knock him out.
Baloney. Mayweather.
Has he ever knocked?
Who is Mayweather knocked out?
It's been 20 years.
Oh, my God.
He says he owes it to the fans after the Pacquiao fight to take the fight to Conor.
It's not going to happen. They always say this garbage.
So
they always say that. You buy the $100 pay-per-view, you think you're going to see a rumble, and it's not.
You think it's going to be boring?
Yes!
I have one more could-be-stupid question. How many rounds is a UFC fight?
It could be three, it could be five.
It's a shorter all-over
match,
It's five-minute rounds. Okay.
So say, and what's this match going to be?
12.
12 rounds. 3-minute rounds.
And Conor's known to get gassed very early.
And well, boxing just takes used to longer, 12 right? rounds.
You have to be really for either of those sports, though. I mean, I would say that MMA. You know, I don't know. MMA is probably more
stressful right off the bat, right? Or like more.
I
you get tuckered out easier.
Look, you need to have great conditioning for either one of those.
Oh, you're grappling. You're kicking.
Yeah. Well, you're using. Either one. I think MMA is probably a little more physically demanding stamina-wise, even though it's not as long, but you're doing more.
Yeah. You think it is? Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're a known boxing fan. Are you switching over to MMA?
No. I don't watch MMA ever. I'm the only guy that doesn't watch MMA. I don't watch much boxing anymore either because they kept putting these matches together that were terrible.
And there's a million belts.
Yeah, well, some of them are nonsense, but you know the big ones. But the people making the matches, it's because you have. It's like one promoter puts all these things together. He just does what's in his best interest and for the best interest of his biggest fighter. It's not actually putting together good matches. That's the one thing that UFC does well. They put compelling matches together. Boxing doesn't do that, and it's just. You get a guy, and it's just they keep putting him with dudes that are not necessarily the hardest guy for this guy to fight. Yes, Jeffrey, what is it?
Well, don't forget, in boxing, there's like a championship belt for like every weight class. You have a middleweight champion, flyweight champion, heavyweight champion, and so on. Pretty much the same thing. There's at least a world champion in each weight class.
Right, but boxing has. WBO, WBC,
yeah, three organizations, three governing WBA. Bodies, you're right.
They have other ones, too. They have other ones that you never even heard of.
EMR.
Funny. Anyways, I think if Conor McGregor stands any chance against Mayweather, he would have to study Mayweather's films.
Oh, of course he is.
That's what they do in all boxing. Ever have an old school boxing trainer show you like a million films of certain boxers from the old days, and they say, well, this is how this guy fought, this is how that guy fought. May work for him, may not work for you, but it's an idea of how it's a way of studying your opponent. And I'm quite sure Floyd Mayweather is probably doing the same thing.
Here's the guy that says, I think Floyd's going to win, but Conor did grow up boxing. A lot of people grew up boxing.
As a child.
A lot of people grew up boxing. They're not beating a world-class, the best of an era fighter, though.
He could have been a Gold Gloves boxer when he was 12
or 13.
He could have
been a Golden Gloves national champ. Okay.
Floyd fought in the Olympics.
I mean, this is not an evenly matched fight by
any
stretch of the
imagination. So you don't believe Mayweather when he says he's the underdog?
No, of course not. Absolutely not. No. That guy is a machine when it comes to training and stuff, too. I mean, most of those boxers are, but this guy is really, really hardcore.
Yeah. Are you going to buy the fight?
I doubt it. Probably not. When is it? In like 2 weeks or something?
August 26th?
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's a guy that said, you said Donald Trump would never be president. You were wrong about that. Hey, you know, I was. And I could be wrong about this. But it's not likely.
Yeah, August 26th.
Let's see what's coming up on the Friday Leftovers.
Coming up in the Friday Leftovers.
All right, the whole show continues on the Friday Leftovers on RMG Plus. If you are not a subscriber, you can sign up right now. That way you can watch or listen live as we all stay here just for you. What do we have on the way?
Watch a frolfer get knocked out.
Oh, who?
A frolfer?
Do you know what frolfing is?
Oh, a frolfer. You're calling a frolfler.
I didn't say lure.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Did not.
You're slurring more than Nads.
Well, I don't know about that.
Watch a frothler.
Charlie has a contact high from being next to Nads in the phone screening room right now.
A video of a corn silo exploding and a baby puking at the worst possible time. All that and more coming up on the Leftovers.
You got to do the video I didn't get to, the bodybuilder. That.
Oh, the guy that tries a backflip?
Yeah.
Okay, watch a guy try a backflip.
Didn't end so well.
Really bad.
All right, we will get to all of that on the Friday Leftovers. Go to roverradio.com, sign up for RMG+. Then you can watch or listen live there on the website or with the Rover Radio app or the Rover Radio Apple TV app. We will do that in 8 minutes. For everyone else, we will be back live Monday. Have a great day and a great weekend. It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Bye.
Bye. ACS.
Morning Glory.
Your next shot to win a trip to Las Vegas for our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival comes at 11:30 on 100.7 WFMU.